as it is 9 o'clock on Thursday, October the 15th, 2020. I'll call the meeting to order, and I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that.
I just wanted to...
You can add it under your commissioner report.
You can just put it under your commissioner report. You don't have to add it.
All right. So do I have a second?
Yes.
And all in favor say aye. Okay.
Yes.
That's that? Yes. All right. We're going to jump right into administration. We do not have Kelly Robitel here today. He's taking a day off.
Okay.
And is Chris Albert going to call in?
We haven't heard that he wasn't.
Right, because I believe he's still representing Jones and Beach on the project, so I'm assuming that he will call in. So.
Yeah, we have the signatures.
Yeah.
Dinah's on the line, too.
And we have Dinah on the line. Thank you, Dinah. Good morning. And we do have Yuri.
Yes.
So in the absence and free time, I'll let you go ahead and speak since you're here early.
Right, yes, I appreciate that. Thank you much for letting me speak. The reason why I'm coming today is I'm kind of here on behalf of the Mountain Meadow Riders Snowmobile Club. So with meeting with Colin Priest, who is the trail master of the club, a few years ago he had come in front of the Board of Commissioners about rerouting the snowmobile trail where it crosses Route 41. I don't know if any of you are familiar with where it crosses the road on Route 41
mm-hmm.
there. So they were talking of going straight across the road versus running the right-of-way down the street, crossing over, and then entering into the power lines. So years ago, when he had spoken with the commissioners, he had gotten approval for it, and then they didn't have any money in the budget to go ahead and do the work. They received some grant money from the state and the Trails Bureau this year, and they've been working on fixing some of the trail crossings, the unsafe crossings. They were able to complete the one on Tasker Hill Road 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you've been able to see that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So now that all the commissioners have changed, everything's kind of changed hands and changed over, I'm just coming in to kind of revisit again and kind of talk to you guys about it and see what you thought about it as far as moving forwards on it. And
so where would this crossing be?
I've got the maps. Do you want me to show you the maps?
Yeah.
And how long ago was that, Yuri, that...
I believe a lot of the paperwork that I was seeing was, back from 2015.
Okay,
so
like
a lot of you on the maps here, I mean, everything's got Nancy's name on it.
Okay.
So the blue line is the actual trail where it runs right now. And the district owns the lots numbered 8, 9, and 10 on the other side of the road. So the red trail is what we're proposing as the new trail coming across.
So you're saying they proposed this several years ago and they were turned down?
No, they actually, I got a chance to talk with Mike the other day, and he remembered when Colin came in, and they had gotten the verbal permission to go ahead, and then they didn't have the money in the budget at that time of that year to move forward with the project. So it kind of got put on the back burner, and now that it's resurfaced again, where they've gotten the grant money from the states to kind of work on some of these unsafe crossings and make it just safer for the public and the snowmobiles, the traffic that we're kind of revisiting. So when he had spoken to me about it, like I said, I mean, everybody's kind of changed over here now. So
where are the village market is that?
It's so this here? Is yes, correct. This is the village market right here.
So
this is the fishing game club right here. So right now it comes out of the woods and runs down the side of the road, then crosses at an angle, and then goes back into the woods there, where there is proposed to bring it right over, almost to the edge of the right-of-way of the power lines, because the trail does connect back onto the power lines as it goes up the hill right there.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, so if on this map that Yuri produced, you'll see where Hotwell Road goes right down to Route 113.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically a paper road.
I was going to say, because I don't recall that intersection at all.
Well, if you recall, just about a year ago, we had PSNH
mm-hmm.
was doing pole work,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they wanted to build a driveway.
Mm-hmm. Right, they wanted access to do some tree cutting or whatever they were going to do up there. Yeah, I do.
So that driveway that they built for their access.
Okay. So there was never really a road that went down to Conway Road.
Well, there was when our Idlewise was originally constructed. There was a road there. I've actually walked this.
Okay.
It's now just an overgrown Class 6 road,
okay.
Except for what the power company did to access, and you can see that power corridor in the dotted line.
There is some talk in the future as well, this is outside of the district, but they're talking about trying to move the trail from the actual power lines over onto Coleman's property. If I was just giving them the go-ahead to go in and clear the trail and everything, then he'll come through and stump it, and that'll kind of keep it. Now, if you come to the bottom of Closter Presidential, a little where dead end of the power lines, is actually where it turns right there.
Okay.
So they're talking about kind of getting it further off as well. But for now, they're just going to work on more of these unsafe road crossings that they're having some problems with.
Yep.
So who owns this? Is this lot number 7 that it runs straight through?
Lot number 7 is owned by a family out of Pennsylvania. So we've got paperwork out to them as well for permission on that to get the slip signed as well.
Okay.
I do have, I could run out to my truck, I do have a full lot.
No, I just thought, I didn't know if it was privately owned or...
Yes, it is. I've actually have plans on reaching out to the abutters as well on the other side of the power lines.
Mm-hmm. Number 22?
Yeah, it was the Snows, I believe the third on the corner. Yeah, because this one here, and then we're trying to speak to these ones as well.
And this, okay.
Yes.
Okay. My only question is, I mean... Like, it would be a problem with noise for people that would be close to the new trail.
Yeah, and you can actually see where the homes are located on...
Oh, that's what those little brown...
The little brown spots with
so
the little numbers.
So on 11, 12, 13, there's no property right now.
Correct.
But 20, you're saying you were going to talk to 20...
Yes.
20, 19, 20, and then 22.
Correct.
So you're looking for, and I believe it's lots number 8, 9, and 10. Are
correct.
Are they owned?
Yes.
And I do recognize, and I don't know if anyone else, we all drive by this, maybe we don't notice it,
sure.
But where that blue line runs right alongside the edge of that road, the ski mobiles are basically perched up on that snowbank.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't need to explain what happened to a gentleman over in Eaton by King Pine, who was crossing the road and got his snow perched up on a snowbank, and looked and saw traffic coming, and it was a garbage truck.
Oh.
Unfortunately, his sled didn't hold, and it was a tragic ending.
I know they say in a few instances when the Fish and Game Club had reached out last year, people that they'd come out and then overshoot the corner to turn back across the road again, thinking the trail goes down the side of the road, and they turn around in the gun club parking lot. And...
The other question, is there any liability to the property owner if somebody hits a tree?
No, you actually that other piece of literature that I passed out to you right there, it tells all about how all the landowners are covered under the State with the Trails Bureau Act as far as liability insurance, and there's no responsibility whatsoever, no liability to the property owners. If it's anything that they ever change their mind at any point, like say you just give the approval and then a year from now a bunch of new commissioners happen to come in and they're like, oh, we don't want this, they can immediately say, hey, no more, and then it's gone immediately.
How much tree work has to be done on those three lots? Is it very wooded?
No, the lots are very wooded, but we're going to choose the path of least resistance and then take down some smaller trees. We want the bigger trees for the coverage to kind of keep the trail enclosed in the woods. That way the sun stays off of it and you keep the snow on it throughout the winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to go, if we were to go all the way out, say, onto the power lines or closer to the residences, out of the open, then with the warm, sunny days, the sun beating down on it really puts a hurt on the trail. So.
Okay.
Like the least amount of cutting as possible.
Okay. No, it's to Paula's point, that'd be the main concern for the village district is the liability. And I'm familiar with the policy decades for scrub oak scramblers, so.
Yeah.
It's been in existence for decades throughout the state and held up very well.
Yeah, one of those things is so much of the trail system is going across private land with the landowner's permission. It's just to have that umbrella to be able to cover everybody and really everybody's safe makes it a lot easier.
Yep. So with this proposal, I'd like to make a motion. And I'll make a motion that we accept the proposal presented by Uri the cross Idlewise slots number 8, 9, and 10. As long as permission is granted from the private loan homeowner at slot number 7, that will complete your trail. So that motion, I'll make that motion, but I have
I'll second that.
Okay. And discussion.
My only question is, should we have it pending any objections from lot owners 19? They're the only homes, really.
Yeah.
That would be my only question. I don't know what you guys think. I mean, you think that wouldn't really affect them, probably?
It is going to be probably 5.
I think those are 1 acre,
being
across over there. We are going to stay in the trees away, so we're not, it's not going to come out onto the actual power line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the things also, we try to keep them off the power lines as much as possible, even with that one turn of that top of cross in there where our trail comes up. But people aren't paying attention, if it's snowing out and they go over the hill and they come down the other side and they're driving around by Tasker on private property.
Yep.
So it's nice to be able to keep it right there in the woods nice and tight and put them right back where they need to be.
Okay. As part of the discussion, the only thing that I would recommend if you do get approval from the private landowner at number 7 is that you come back to this board to discuss the exact location.
Okay.
And the reason I'd like to actually physically walk where your exact location will be is I'm looking to see if the clearing of this path will possibly cause drainage issues, which may then impact Route 113. I don't want that to happen.
No, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. Absolutely perfect sense. Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about well, is that right now where the trail comes, it kind of comes down on a hill and ends right there, and they have to make that left-hand turn to run up the side of the road. Whereas the new proposed trail, the hill's going to come down, but then we're going to be able to make that turn and come nice straight and level off the edge of the road for the crossing.
Yeah.
I think that I would just say we should be sensitive if we do it, if we get complaints the following year. This is someone who lives on the pond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Snowmobilers, I deal with them all winter out on the pond. It's loud, and I don't personally like the noise, but it doesn't bother me during the day, but it bothers me late at night. So it's just one of those things. It's like you just have to live with it. But if these people come back at any point and complain, then I think we're going to have to think of following. But I don't have a problem with it.
That is an awful. I've seen snowmobilers on that 113, and that is a dangerous situation, especially with the snow.
It seems like a good idea. So
I appreciate your. That's the one thing also. You said coming at that angle with the helmets on, not having the peripheral to be able to just look the both ways, and we don't want to have to call Jay to come scrape somebody off the road.
Already did that at 6 o'clock this morning.
Really started.
Well, no, it's just mine.
So we have consensus on that.
So all in favor?
Yeah, all in favor.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Just to have you called out to number 7 as well, and as soon as I get it, you guys meet on the regular again?
Usually every Thursday at 9. But of course, if you get that information prior, just forward it to the office.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely, will do. I'll give a call, I'll swing by with that.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
All right,
Thank
wonderful.
Thank you all very much. I'm
going to
hang out for the meeting.
Yeah.
Sure. What happened? Your cable would get disconnected?
I thought I was just checking, like, I better shoot over there right now. I'm going to talk to everybody.
Perfect.
But hey, I really, really appreciate it. I'll be in contact.
Okay.
All
right,
thank you
very much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
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 Okay, under the Rhinoc project status report, we have the third disbursement of the Dawson schedule, the DN tank payment, and is this new email address for Chris?
Well, we don't have it yet. We're going to ask him if he called in.
Oh, okay.
So he said his email ended last week.
So how is that going to work now? Are we going to contact, if we have a question or we need information, do we contact Jones and Beach? That they're now subcontracting with Chris.
Yeah, I think the main contact that we should probably all go through at the moment is Holly.
I met a gentleman down when you were meeting with
Brad.
Yeah, Brad.
Yeah,
and
he's going to be the replacement, but I don't have his information either.
Okay, because he's going to be the contact person at Jones and Beach.
Yeah.
He was down at the mailbox looking at the big sign saying, "Do you know where the Reinhardt tank is?" I go, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do." So he apparently went up.
Yeah, maybe he'll say just keep working straight through.
Yeah, so we'll need to clarify that.
Maybe we copy him on tonight.
Right.
Okay.
Because Chris starts billing his time, he's going to be billing it back to Jones and Beach, who will then bill us.
Correct.
So that's why there's got to be some approval from Jones and Beach on how we communicate going forward.
With Kelly's absence, I don't want to steal any of the thunder, but just to give a summary of what happened during the walkthrough
mm-hmm.
last Friday, we went through the punch list. We walked the roads, all of them, and we marked and pointed out and took notes on everything that needed to be corrected as far as rocks in the road, rocks off onto private property that rolled down the ditches that need to be removed. As we all know, prior to last week, the paving...
Sorry, was somebody from Dawson was with you, right?
Yes, Jake Dawson himself, and another employee of his who was taking all the notes down. And during the walkthrough, we talked about the paving and why was that really prevented. So it was brought up that at the intersection of Adelboden and Bristenstock, there was the new pipe that was installed, comes off in a T, and will eventually be connected to the existing pipe on Adelboden. And that's right underneath the pavement. So if we went ahead and paved that road, we would eventually have to come back in another week or two and dig it up to make that connection once the system goes live. So I thought about it and I said, well, the pavement is only so wide and does go into Adelboden for maybe 20 feet. And I said, why don't we just extend that new water main from out underneath the pavement and do your connection 3 weeks from now, put on gravel. And it was silent. Everyone looked around. Okay. So it was an okay.
Okay.
The only thing that we're going to be charged for is the additional pipe, which was, I believe, quoted somewhere around 25 feet. And I forget what it was, $44 a foot. So Kelly was then asked to go back and call Brian Paving. And he wanted the commitment from Jake that, yes, he'll do it. He got the commitment. Kelly went back, made the phone call, and Brian said, okay, you're back on schedule.
That's $1,000,
roughly? Yeah. Actually, under $1,000. I think it's a few hundred.
Okay.
So that was a great solution to get that all done. There's just one piece of pipe that's missing from inside the pump house. And there's two standpipes that come up out of the floor. And I'm not sure if this is some sort of special pipe, but I don't see what the delay is.
The one they say is delayed because of
COVID-19 delivery. They can't find it. It's out of stock. Yeah. So I'm not sure what...
Can they use shark bites?
Exactly. Go to local hardware store.
No.
But no, it's... everything's ready to go. I guess I was told that the tank is chlorinated. And I read some literature on the contract last night, and the pipes still need to be... Now that we've had the pressure test done, by the way, it's
mm-hmm.
been done,
mm-hmm.
and I passed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have the pipes flushed again and then chlorinated again. That's all part of the contract. But I want to make sure that that happens before the system goes live. There was a lot of other things that were brought up. Again, I don't want to take away from Kelly's thunder, but one of the questions that was brought up by a resident was the field change order of moving the main water main from one side of the road to the other to avoid the cost of removing ledge. And the question was, who is there? How do you know it's 6 feet down, et cetera, et cetera? You know, a lot of questions
mm-hmm.
regarding that. And I asked that question. So the answer I received from Jake Dawson was that Ian Hayes was there every day. Not all day, but he was there every day to make sure it was going down to the proper depth, 6 to 6.5 feet, what I was told. So.
And Ian did say back when that he was going to stop in pretty much every day,
yeah.
randomly, so that they wouldn't all say, okay, Ian comes at 2 o'clock, let's, you know, pick up all the whatever to make it look good.
Right.
And he did say he was going to do that.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's no reason not to trust him. And then if Dawson kind of confirms the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that it was only in Ian's best interest to make sure that it was done correctly also.
Right.
Can I ask a question? Where's
yeah.
the ledge? By the
Aspen.
Aspen?
It's called the upper Aspen.
So it'd be worthwhile though to...
Would there pictures?
Have Ian confirmed that he did that?
Yeah.
He saw that it was 6 feet down and asked him if he had the picture.
Yeah, because part of the contract, I looked at the same thing that you said.
Pictures, documentation, all has to be there.
Yeah, so somebody must have been taking, and I know Jake's a big picture taker, we'd have some visual confirmation of that as well. So is Chris going to provide us with a big packet of...
It's going to be huge.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
With all that information in it.
Right, I haven't seen any pictures other than what you have taken. Mm-hmm. I've sent some out myself. But yeah, there's got to be this... He's probably going to roll it in on a set of wheels.
Mm-hmm. Which is okay. I mean, documentation is better than not enough. Okay.
So I think that question has been answered.
I mean, were you comfortable with their answer on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the pump house is done.
Yep.
All the electronics are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because one of the things that was asked for was the schematics of what was in the pump house.
Yeah.
And what components were in there, what we were measuring, what we were reporting.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something we're going to get from Chris, or should we get that from Tom?
I think Tom's going to provide that. The other thing that was mentioned last week was that there was electrical conduit out beside the pump house
mm-hmm.
that now has been installed underground. We have underground utilities mm-hmm. from the last telephone pole to that pump house.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in place now. The wiring is in. One thing that is missing right now, another item that's missing, is what's called a master switch. You know what these are on the outside of the building.
Mm-hmm. To disconnect.
Disconnect. Should we be wanting to have a need for an emergency generator? Because that's an electric pressure zone. It runs off electricity. So if we have an outage for the ice storm in 1999, I remember mm-hmm. quite clearly we had power loss in Idlewise for, I think the minimum was 4 days, but some people were without it for 2 weeks. So if we have a loss of power to that pump station, we want to be able to have the ability to hook a generator up. That's all part of the design. So they're seeing if they can find this master switch to get that done, and there is a panel on the outside of the building for that.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that's being looked for.
I think, people are questioning that, oh, there's this pipe, and who's paying for that, and what's left over, and all that stuff is in the contract.
Yeah.
So for us to try and figure out what additional costs we have to get this project done, there really isn't anything.
Right. Right.
Okay. So other than that, $200 to extend the main.
Yep.
So that's
do we have to approve that money then, or will that be covered?
Yeah. So I'm going to make a motion, and I'll have to be quite frank. I made the decision by myself to go ahead with that because it was being done that day, and was done that day, and I will say that I probably acted inappropriately, but I saw no other way. The machine was there. They wanted to do it that day.
That was Friday.
Yep.
Okay.
And if the rest of the board doesn't approve it, I'll pay for it.
I think it's...
So I'll make a motion that we fund the extra 25 feet of pipe
mm-hmm.
to move the water main, or to extend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to recuse that vote.
So it's no longer under the...
Pavement. Yep. So, and I'll second that motion from Paula.
No.
Yep. So, for the extra $1,000 or less, it'll allow the driveway to get paved, and it will resolve all those problems with the people's driveways getting full of mud and the gravel washing out of those trenches. And okay.
So all the rocks being removed from private property, there's been a couple emails about that from somebody. Was that all done now, or is that being done in the next week?
I know it is being done. I know it was started. It already started even before we did the walk. We pointed out...
So when will it be complete? Like if those people reach out to the office again, will they have a note? Will it be done with
one particular person? And the question when the water's going to be...
Yeah, and I was told by the end of the month.
Okay.
And it's going to be an interesting call because, I mean, a rock is a rock. And the question is, did that one come out of the ground recently, or was it always there for the last 10,000 years?
Yeah.
But they're going to just go and try and pick as many rocks that they see that are sitting on the soil without really being embedded in the soil.
Let me ask you this. So once the new main gets flushed, chlorinated, we're all hooked up through the pump house,
and all the individual home connections are done.
That was my question. So have they started, have they made all the connections, they've done all the cuts from the main to the new curb stop valve?
Yeah.
And so the new curb stop valve is right next to the original curb stop valve?
Right.
And then they'll just take the property owner's service line and connect it to the new curb stop valve if they don't want to have a new service line put in.
Right.
And how many of them then did we have that reached out? I guess that's not even our issue.
That wasn't our issue.
That was between the property owner and a company.
Five emails.
Okay.
Yeah.
Questioning it, and we transferred them to
Ian. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Jake says he's talked with two individuals.
Okay.
And the determination will be done when they actually expose that individual's service line. They'll look at it and tell them it's 30 years old. It's rated for 100 PSI.
You should change it.
What do you want to do?
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to note, too, is that Kelly had issue with the two blow-offs, one at the end of Bristenstark and the other at the end of Aspen down by number 24. They're red pipes.
Mm-hmm.
We've probably all seen
mm-hmm.
them. He says he's going to probably hit them with the wing blade because they're so close to the edge of the road. So those will be moved back further into the district 10 feet away from the travel width. So the wing blade will never hit those. And or there's one I believe that they, what they were going to do is just take it down completely and have it shoot out into the woods
okay.
on an angle so that the blade would go right over it because it's down over the ditch.
Okay.
But no, Kelly was very stern about the condition of the gravel roads not being what he expected. A lot of work for him and possibly damage to his plows and or injury to the personnel that drive those plows during winter. So that was clarified as what needs to be done.
On Dawson?
Yes.
On Dawson.
Will there be a follow-up walkthrough with all you guys?
Yeah.
Done?
Yeah, we're going to have another walkthrough and hopefully just make sure you check you've done this check because we have this list.
Okay.
So that was, it was good.
And there was no pushback from Dawson's at all as far as
no.
Understanding what their responsibilities are?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Now, was there any discussion about the culverts, or is that something for another day?
Well, the only discussion was that Kelly wished he had been involved early on because the recommendation he would have had was to replace all the culverts all along the entire path.
Okay.
And there was no discussion on that. We still haven't, as we know, received the bill, if we are, for the two culverts that were installed by Dawson's in two locations, and we're not sure if we're going to get a bill.
Okay. I didn't know if that was brought up as, you know, something that has to be resolved.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So basically, I didn't want to speak for Kelly, but just I was there on the walkthrough, so that's basically what had happened.
Okay.
It was a good walkthrough. I thought it would take 30 minutes, and it took 3.5 hours.
Okay.
So.
Did you miss your appointment?
No.
Because I knew you had an appointment. They moved the day. They moved the time to 7 a.m. because
yeah.
you had something going on later
right.
on. Okay.
Well, I think Jake missed his.
All right. Well, that's. I mean, I think that's good news. I mean, I think that you know we all felt that the project was moving along, that
yeah.
there were no major surprises, that it basically unfolded as the engineer and the contractor anticipated. Then.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And that you feel that's how it's happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just ask who signed in with the last four digits of 2277?
Yes, this is Brad Jones, Jones of Beach Engineers. How are you doing today?
Hi, Brad.
Okay. We were just talking about you.
Oh, you were? Okay. Well, here I am. So.
All right. So, Brad, we just got through. I just gave a summary of the walkthrough that you and I and Chris and Jake and others, Kelly, took on Friday.
Yes.
I'm going to hand the microphone over to you and just let you go ahead and give a summary or a status as to where we are and what we need to look for in the future, what's happening. So go ahead.
Yep, sure. So I did touch base with Jake. It sounds like he's making some headway with the cleanup and the punch list items that we discussed on Friday. And one of the items was the disconnect switch for the station there. We're going to have to probably just go ahead and wire without that for the time being until that's available. And I think the paving date is still set for the patch and the top coat. So I think things are proceeding pretty good.
Okay. Hey, Brad. Did you kindly send the office? Do you have the office email?
I believe I do. I have the chain of emails, so I'm sure I have that. Yep.
Okay. If you could just forward any other contact information, if you have a business cell phone or something like that, that we can always get in touch with you if we need to.
That sounds great. Actually, this is my cell phone now. I don't know if it comes up, but I will absolutely get that to you and get that to you today.
Okay.
So are we clear on, I'm at, this is Paula Doyle, one of the commissioners. Can you clarify, how's the process working now in terms of, is Chris still, you know, working on this project? Should we be working through you?
Yes, Chris is still a subcontractor, so we have him available to, you know, to help out in any way he needs to. I think at this point the project's kind of just really the punch list, the paving, and finishing it up until the pumps come in. So that then at that point we'll, you know, work back with him but we have a good working relationship, so we'll still keep him involved.
But you're the contact then.
That is correct. Yep.
So go. This is Catherine. I met you down at the post office box.
Oh yes. How you doing, Catherine?
Good. So I guess we just had that discussion. Is if we have a question or we need paperwork or documentation or the office needs information, we should basically not reach out to Chris. It should go through your office.
That's right. Do that, and I will reach out to Chris if needed. If it's something to do with, you know, simple punch list paving or anything like that, you know, I'll deal with it. If it involves some history of the job, then I'll bring Chris into it. Yep.
Yeah, because he's been tracking all of the grant disbursements for us and doing all that on his end and just forwarding that for us for signature. So I believe that's all stuff then that's been passed off to you.
That's right, and I'll still, like I said, I'm going to work with him because he's the expert on the grants and he's 90% into it. So I'm definitely going to refer back to him. But I think you guys need a point of contact. That should be me. And then I'll figure out, you know, his involvement based on that.
Okay. Excuse me. Can I just ask who signed in the 4747, the last four digits, please?
Yep. This is Paige Libby with Jones & Beach.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is Joanna from the office. Could you just send the contact information just so that we have it on record? I'd appreciate that.
Yep, sure.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Brad, I just have one other question, and I know it's been a difficult one for even Chris to answer, and that is the second half of the project, which is the Upper Lakeview pressure zone.
Yes. Yep.
And are we anywhere further on that? Do we know what we're going to do, and do we know when we might start doing that?
I'm going to have to get hold of Chris and kind of go through that with him. So I think I know that. That was slated to, you know, get started here pretty quick, so.
Okay. All right. And let's see. Other than that, that's all I have for questions.
Can I just ask?
Sure.
So you'll be handling the disbursements now? For the grant?
Yes. Yes, I will be handling that. Yep.
Because we have a request for disbursement.
There's a change in disbursement number 3, and we have a new disbursement number 4.
Okay. Oh, okay. So there's been a change for disbursement number 3. Do we know what the change is?
We took out the Lee Carroll electrical engineering portion.
Right.
I think Rick thought that it had been already submitted. So we just took that $2,300 off of that list of invoices for that submittal.
Okay.
And then disbursement 4 is that last bill from Dawson's. It was $19,800, which is the bill for the pressure testing.
Test. Yeah. Yep.
And then we recognized, actually it was kind of a two-way conversation, but we overpaid Glass Dawson's pay rec by $200, so we're just going to deduct $200 from this most recent one.
But I thought the correspondence that we got, we underpaid.
No,
I never heard back from Dawson. And then when we went through Rick Skaranka asked for a cleaner copy because he couldn't read it.
Yeah.
And it was the
Here we are.
675 instead of 875.
There was a disbursement for 69,875 that we paid, but it was really 69,675. Literally, we couldn't tell the difference between a 6 and an 8 on those blurry copies.
Okay.
So we did overpay it by 200, so we'll deduct it from this fourth check for Dawson. So the 19,800 will be 19,600. And we're submitting that by itself for our October disbursement.
Yep. So these requests for disbursement, let me just publicly state what they are. We have, this is request number 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's $71,272.86.
Yep.
And then we have request for disbursement number 4, which is part of this $19,000 pressure test.
Yep, that's the only invoice on that disbursement.
Okay.
On
and
that.
The disbursement amount, correct me if I'm wrong, that's $4,752?
Mm-hmm. So 24% of the bill?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Can I just ask also, Brad, the copy of the pressure test, when it was forwarded to us, it was on a pink background and very lightly written, and we can't read it. If anybody wants to see the produced copy, we can't really produce a copy. If we could get a cleaner copy. I did send an email to Chris, but I never heard back, but now I'll send the email to you.
That sounds good. And I think that was a slip from the technician that did the testing.
Prescott.
Yeah, so they would also issue a final report as well, I believe, so for that testing. So, but I will. I think if I do a colored copy, is that the problem when you go to print it? It's got too much background.
Bad, so.
We only have black and white.
Yeah. Okay. So it was sent in black and white because I know sometimes then you really had to see. So yep, I can take care of that and send it in color or even maybe lighten it a little bit. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Brad?
I don't think so. Now, do we want to have him call in next Thursday morning? Is there a necessity to do that?
Yeah, because we may have more disbursements and bills to talk about as well.
Okay. Okay. So I guess, Brad, you could kind of put us down for Thursday morning at either 9 or 9:30, probably 9:30.
Yep, that's fine.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll follow up on those items you mentioned. But I'll call in next Thursday at 9:30.
Okay.
And we'll send, like I said, Chris, I used to send after Jay signed the copies of them. I would just forward that back to Chris at Jones Beach. So I'll just, as long as we get your contact information, I'll do the same today.
And then Chris would submit that to the state for the
mm-hmm.
for the reimbursement. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Questions, Brad? I guess you're free to go.
All right, that sounds good. You have a good day, and I'll talk with you next Thursday at 9:30.
Great. Hey, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you, Chris.
Right.
I mean, thank you, Ed.
no problem. Yep. Bye now.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Get that out of the way.
Hmm?
Yeah, I might as well do it now. I'll make a motion to sign, and I'm going to number them disbursement request number 3 for a total of $71,272.86. A second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Yeah, this is the disbursement that picked up a whole bunch of small invoices. It was the ledge probes. It was the archaeological mm-hmm. survey. It was the geotech service that was done back in 2019. It was, what else was on there? There was a pay rec from both DNTank and from Dawson's, and there was engineering from contract 1 and then the other subsequent contracts. So Donna and I did sit down yesterday, and we just made sure that all the numbers added up with what we had for backup.
There's a lot here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Second motion I'd like to make is for disbursement request number 4. And this amount is for $4,752.
No, $19,000. Oh, no, the disbursement amount. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yep.
The total amount is the $19,000.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Do I have a second? $4,752.
I'll second that.
Okay, and just for clarity, this is the pressure test.
Mm-hmm.
That was completed and capped. Okay, all in favor say aye?
Yes.
Aye.
Each individual one?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. One of the other things, while we're still on the water project, there was a question that was posed to us last week about contractor section A12 was missing from the bids.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no A12. I went back and looked, and what happened was in the original list of bids, you probably know.
Yeah, we figured that out.
A5 was missing.
Yeah.
Was skipped over.
Yeah.
It went from A4 to A6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So if you put A5 back in, which is nothing separate, it was just
mislabeled.
Now it goes, there's only 11 items.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So it was a clerical mistake. There was no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So
nothing
was missing. Yeah. Right. So there was only 11 A's. There was never a 12.
Yeah.
Got it.
And just a question, were you able to find the bid specifications for the contract?
That's
my question, that I do have a question.
Yeah, so there's the 321-page bid package. Right?
Specification, bid
okay.
Specification.
Okay, so we have that on the website,
yeah.
And that's been dispersed to whoever's asked for it. Then there was probably a 30-page document from Dawson's.
Yeah.
Which gave his credit history, all the equipment that he owned, all that stuff. Then it went through with all those A1 through 11s and gave all the pricing that he was, that was the bid.
His quote.
And that's all we have. We don't have any separate document that's considered a contract. We kind of, it was always called Dawson's contract, and that's the contract.
Yeah, because I went looking for it last night, and I think he was referencing this 3-foot depth on ledge. And so that would be in the bid specification.
That's what I brought with me. I just want to clarify.
So is that like a state thing that there's no separate contract that when they get the bid, they're
I mean, that's kind of.
No. There was a. There is a contract with the winning bidder.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. 30 pages or so.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
yep.
it. Okay. So has that been
sent? And that was.
And it's been on the website.
But I was told
that they. Appointment later, right? So we can.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that has been on the website, but I don't know if Mark was looking for something in addition to that.
No, that's his request that's on top of it. I just didn't know where, if I'm looking, he's asking for something.
Yeah, and that would be part of the bid specifications as to how to lay pipe,
mm-hmm.
whether it be
in
ledge or non-ledge.
Right, and as Chris said, you know, that Ian was against that option, and none of it was done that way.
Yeah, so I went back last night. In what is now the current bid specification, went through all 364 pages. It's not there. In other words, we've taken it out.
Okay.
Because Ian asked for it to be removed.
Okay. All right. So we're good.
Yep. So I want to go right to admin reports. So Donna, Lynn, if you want to talk about the health trust rate.
I should turn that over to me this week.
I'm trying.
So we did talk about Dawson's project schedule, right?
Yeah.
Can you address that? Okay.
Yep.
Oh, Chris also asked about the payment to the NN tanks, and we sent that out last week.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter Chappell did send in the new rates for the health trust. And it's a 6.4% increase. And what do you mean by this dollar sign return of surplus?
So 6.4% increase.
Yes.
And that was on a employee and spouse plan.
Two persons.
Yeah.
For two people.
For two people.
Is that what we ended up with for the DPW? They're both on the employee and spouse.
Yes. So what, does it show what our the monthly or annual premium is going to be?
Yeah. So roughly, it's just under $1,900 plus for increase to next year's budget for health care. If the plan
$1,900 for the year.
Yeah, for the year.
No, it's per month. It's
I'll apply that up for a year.
Per month for two people, it's $1,190.27.
Is an $82 increase per month per individual?
When you say per person, you mean per
plan.
Employee,
plan.
But not per
two
person.
For two
person. So that employs
plan.
The person and their spouse.
Right.
Okay.
For a single, it would be $595.13.
So it went up $82?
Yeah,
for the
same plan
okay.
That we used last year.
So $984. Yeah. So we'll have to budget $1,000 additional for the premium. And a deductible state. That was with the same deductible? That we had. Okay.
What are we going to do to secure their commitment to that plan? That's what they want. They're going to. We should do that as soon as possible.
Great. I want to talk about that too. So, last year we got ourselves into a bind.
I know. We're not going to do that again, are
we? So, it's very simple. We can just simply offer the two-person plan and nothing else, other than a single, if someone's not married. But the question would be, for discussion purposes here, for this coming year, do we want to even consider offering a family plan?
Did he give us a price for a family plan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it was about $500 to $600 more.
Yeah, I forwarded that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have it written. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Jay. I mean, we...
I'm sorry, because I know I don't want to go through all those things of what happened. I know a lot happened.
Yeah.
Are we still paying 100%?
Yes.
And are we paying any of the deductible?
Yes, 100%.
Still paying how much is the deductible?
Actually,
I don't think
there is no deductible with these plans.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. Oh, yeah.
I think a $3,000 deductible. And I think...
Weren't we paying, and the district agreed to pay half of it, first half? But that was last year. I mean, that was last year, so we can do
it. There was a big controversy about this. Not controversy. There were a lot of comments made about this in the annual meeting, and I think something we should discuss when we do the budget. Mm-hmm. And before we talk to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
About, in the past, the district had paid the deductible about $1,000, as I recall.
It was.
And I think this year we're not paying the deductible, as I recall. Maybe we are.
I think we are. Yes. They haven't submitted anything. It's a pretty good health care plan, so as far as I know, there's been no out-of-pocket.
On the budget at the annual meeting that we were not paying the deductible. Now we are paying the deductible.
I don't think Kathy.
I think we did. We haven't paid any of it because none of it's been submitted to us.
The budget is for? So we should just check
We budgeted $3,000 per employee, or $6,000 in the healthcare line, in case, which is worst case, if we...
I have the budget right here. Do we know what the current monthly number is?
What's the current, did it show that?
1,118 is the...
For both of them.
For the spousal plan.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we said that we went to the higher deductible, saying that we would pay the deductible,
right.
And what the increase was on the employee was the co-pays went up a little bit and the prescription medication went up a little bit.
So we were paying $1,500 for each individual under that one plan.
That's a budget handy.
It was $3,000 per, so it was $6,000 was our maximum risk or our maximum exposure on the health care.
Right.
Medical budget is $3,400. Are any of it in water or not?
It's the two road.
Yeah, that sounds right then. $34,000.
Yep.
And if you do what you just said, 1118 times 12 months times two people is about $26,800.
Right.
You add $6,000 to that, you get $32,832.
Yep.
And the budget is $34,000.
Yeah.
So it is covered.
We have to budget for it because worst case.
Yeah, because I think they're under the assumption. something they have to pay the deduction.
No, they know. Because last year, Kelly, the year before, 2018, they submitted, Kelly had a bill and
right.
Jeff both
yeah.
had something that occurred that they were required to pay deductible. They pay it, their plan, and then we reimburse
the
employee.
They send like an invoice to the district.
Yeah. No, they haven't done it this year.
They haven't done anything yet. Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't done it this year because they haven't had anything that wasn't covered.
Yeah. But I'd like to...
excuse me. Glenn just picked up special notes. Maximum 50% employer funding of the deductible
right.
allowed.
Yeah,
right.
that was the same statement last year.
Yeah, so we're allowed. So technically we're allowed to do that.
Right.
I think the prior year they said they were going to reimburse 100%, which they were... I guess technically not supposed to do.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But our health trust says that the employer can do up to 50% of the deductible.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're doing
100? No, we're doing 50%. So the deductible was
6,000?
3,000
yeah,
per person.
Yeah.
So a maximum of 6,000 per
I
family.
Yeah.
And we'd reimburse them up to 50%,
okay.
the first 50%
I
of that.
Per person thing.
Okay.
Yep. So we're budgeted for 6,000, and I think, yeah, we should start following up with you guys, be submitting that.
Yeah.
And
support
the
office.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Because I'd like to get this done sooner than what happened last
year.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, we have to decide this before the budget is actually created. So we need to think about this actually in the next
yeah.
couple
and
weeks.
I think, too, and something else to take into consideration, which I guess I'll let... Lynn explained what's going on with New Hampshire retirement.
But
that weighs into it also.
But just going back to something that Donna put down on the notes, we are going to get about, do we know what the final figure is?
No, we won't know. When I talked to Peter, he said that they were having the meeting on October 6th, which set the rate would then this out.
Yeah.
And then it would be probably at least 3 weeks
okay.
for them to process it, and they can't guarantee until everything's processed.
All right.
But there was a surplus
yeah.
that will be part of the dividing up of
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around $2,000, which happens to be more than what the increase for next year will be. So.
But it won't go into next year.
No, we can't do that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it goes all back into the big pool, so the taxpayers, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there.
I'd
okay.
just like to, I mean, I can do it on my own. I'd like to look at what the cost would be.
Yep.
Offer the families and then they were to take it.
Yeah, it's, I think, a $500, $600 increase. But you could add, you could have 9 kids, all for $500
or $600. No, I understand. So, I think the question is whether we want to offer it. And if we offer it and they take it up, and we would do that by the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd have to put it in next budget. If towns take it out of the budget for next year, then it'll have to come out of something else.
Right.
And
that's what we
ability
would be if we offer it to take it and then voters. I'd be hard pressed to understand, believe that they would.
Yeah.
Well, they can't really vote down an individual
no,
line item,
change
though.
Change the budget and say it's for that. We'd
yeah.
have to find somewhere else
yeah.
to take it out of it.
Well, let me ask the question. Would it be worthwhile to approach the two employees and ask them if they'd be interested in the family plan?
Well, Kelly would absolutely be interested, and then. But the problem with Jeff was, his kids are covered under
yeah.
a state plan,
which
and the fear
was
if the family plan was offered and he didn't take it, they wouldn't be covered under the state plan,
right.
and the state plan has a much broader level of services than the
yeah.
Health trust plan. So that was kind of where that was one of the deciding factors was, would it compromise one employee? Kind of to help
yeah.
a second employee.
Yeah.
I mean, we gave Kelly a decent raise, I thought, last year to help compensate for that situation.
We did.
You want to know the actual cost for the family plan?
Sure.
Yeah.
$1,606.86.
So
606.
Yeah.
$500.
Per employee.
Yeah. So that covers however many children you have.
Right.
So if you get 9 kids, that's a great deal.
Well, if your kids are all covered by the state, though, there's
well,
no out-of-pocket
yeah, exactly.
to the one employee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then in addition to the increase, so Lynn, what's the status with?
And last year we were going to offer to make those
yes. So the next thing that kind of goes in conjunction with that, I don't know if I see it on here, Don, with the New Hampshire retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on here?
Yes. The total employer percentage is 14.53%.
Versus what it was this year?
11.17.
So in addition to paying Social Security on behalf of the employees, we're also paying now 11% of their gross salary towards New Hampshire retirement for each of them.
Next year we have to pay 14.5%.
Yep, percent, yep. So that's a pretty big increase.
It is. And keep in mind that all these numbers that are related to pay, benefits, insurance, all of those get used in setting our Primex liability rate. So the more you pay out for employees and such, that will increase our premium.
I think it's just their salary, though. I don't think it's all their benefits. Because this would be just on their salaries, I would guess.
I think, but I have to go back and check to see if benefits are also part of it. Yeah.
So we're going to be paying 6% more on health insurance and 14. What is the percentage increase from 11 to 14? 30% increase? Yeah, hold on, hang on. The 30% increase.
Yeah, so was there any reason given why the sharp increase is there?
They just set the rate. I quoted you there.
Yeah.
What was 30%?
It's New Hampshire retirement.
That's the 14 over the 11?
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't do a percent of a percent. 3 points.
Right.
It won't be a 30% increase in our broad cost. It'll be 3% on it. 3 points.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
3 points.
He's
yeah.
not saying so. Yeah, it won't be a total. It shouldn't be a 30%.
No.
Increase.
In the total, yeah.
Right.
I know what you're saying, but yeah.
Yeah, the increase was it was a, right. It was because it's a percentage of the total, not the
yeah.
total.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Next week, got a notice from the New Hampshire Labor Law Poster Service. They have posting notices are frequently being amended. So the ones you purchased on 2009 are out of date. So for $172, they can give you a complete set of 2021 state and federal posters.
The reason why I put it in, I'm sorry, Lynn, mm-hmm. is that we're required to hang now a COVID poster, mm-hmm. which they give free, but you have to buy the other two, it looks. So,
no.
But I don't know how old those...
Well, they're saying that we last ordered in 2009.
That's, I guess, the last posting that was required for posters. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, they're old.
So I think they're all available for free.
That's what I was going to say.
They may not be laminated, and they may not have the nice, you know.
Okay, well, I'll have to look. We'll have to look into
so.
But that's coming from the New Hampshire, from Concord.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do they give you a list of the posters that you get?
No, it just says complete set and the new coronavirus posting requirement.
And are these posters also online? Do we print them ourselves?
Are they posters or just posters?
Well, what they provide is actual glossy posters.
Laminated posters.
Like some of these maps.
Right.
But the question is, do you need a glossy 3x2
poster? Well, it's going to last you 10 years.
We don't know
well,
that.
The thing is, though, what they stated is that with all the frequency of changes, we'll be buying posters.
But do we know which ones we need and ordering them and all that? Is it easier just to spend $100 out of the printing budget and let it be done with instead of spending a couple hours going back and checking what we have, what's current, what
yeah.
we can order for free?
But let me also note that that's for two complete sets, $172.
Yeah. One will go in the office building, the other in the garage.
Right. Go back and just see if there's anywhere on the website for the state. Well, let's talk about it next week
okay.
where we can access them, get them for free, and or print them ourselves.
Right.
Not, but I said then I would go ahead with it personally.
Next week copied out the overdue water bill letters that we typed yesterday from the Kathy gave us with her draft letter, mm-hmm. and they all have to be signed.
You said overdue for this year or overdue?
Those are the ones we want to put liens on. Steve.
They're over $1,000. Yeah, okay. That's how we kind of made that decision. Yeah. They have two. They're past due for 2 years.
Yeah. How many yeah. other? How many letters?
It was actually there was.
The
only one that I the only one that I have you could let you people know about is the 18 I don't know how to pronounce it.
D-Spot,
yeah. The house was sold, but the outstanding bill wasn't. I looked like it was listed with notes that there was a court order that the
individual
was supposed to pay a certain portion for the bill to be paid off. He now owes us $8.99 that has never been paid since I believe 2015.
Mm-hmm. So we already took him to small claims court. We got a judgment against the property owner. So now the property itself we can't put a lien on, but he's in default of the court order to pay, was it $25 a month? Or
$25 or $50.
And he doesn't live here anymore. He
right, and he made a few payments
yeah.
and then stopped paying in 2015.
Now how do we get that money?
So
I Googled and everything, and his company is still listed in New Bedford, but it keeps coming back to us undeliverable. As does most of them, except I believe two of them.
Back to the court and ask.
Yeah, well, he's in default of a court order, so it's kind of up to the court now, I think, to pursue that.
So how do we let them know?
So that we don't know. I was going to look that up, but okay. I haven't done it yet to find out if there's a form for
sure.
default of payment.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. I didn't write it down, so I didn't do it.
Why did you not include Adam Wise's bill in this?
Those are water bills. We're just doing the water bills right now.
Well, I thought we would, small claims, anything over 1,000.
We can, we'll just pick up a different letter, right?
Yeah.
That was what we approved for a letter, which is for past due water bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we need to get that letter, too. Yes, yeah, so they should all be filed pretty much at the same time.
Okay, next is to approve minutes of Thursday, October 8th.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had, you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
Yeah.
My only comment was on discussion on Aspen, it says that the tanks will be hammered down to 6 feet, and it should be the water main, mm-hmm. not the tank. And it said the old tanks will be filled with sand. I would say that we don't know that for sure. They'll probably be filled with sand.
Right.
So was there any discussion with Jake about that, with the tanks?
Yeah, that was confirmed. They will be filled with
They will. Okay, so you can leave that as is. Okay, because at the meeting we weren't sure. And then for the on the audit,
mm-hmm.
is the GASB requirement, is that how you spell that?
GASB.
I thought there was more letters than GASBY. Is it GASBY?
Oh, I don't even think there's a Y.
GASB. Yeah.
Is that it? Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
I thought it was why. That's my fault.
Government Audit Standard Bureau? Is that it?
I thought it was Government Accounting Software.
Yeah, it's all caps.
Yeah.
GASBY, just four letters.
No, why.
Correct. Okay.
Why?
No, that's all right. That's why we read them.
My phonetics.
That's what you get from being from Lynn.
I didn't realize we're at the public of the BED. I don't know that we legally don't have to do it. I said, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And I think that's important because I don't want it to sound like we don't. I don't.
Right.
We may not have to, but I would add this, I think we should do it anyway. I think we should do it regardless.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and the other question was, the amendments from last week's meeting, were the minutes changed?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you forward them to me, and we'll put them on the website?
I thought I did.
Mm-hmm. I'll double check.
I'll double check too.
Okay. So, I'll make a motion to approve the amended minutes from 10-8. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, these are the statements on the back. Cash flow. I know we had to wait a little bit to get the grant money.
After this, there's $24,155.84 in the water project budget.
But in our bank account, our cash flow.
That's what we...
Yeah, that I think that is the correct spelling. I think it's just one.
O-N-E-I-L.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in our cash flow, do we have enough money in the? How much money do we have left in the bank to pay bills with?
It's $24,000.
And that's in the Reinhardt tank
project.
Project. Okay.
Yeah.
And then in our regular bank account.
That's over there.
I'm just curious.
These have all been turned off, right? They're not getting water anymore.
Well, we don't know. I know for some houses, I do know they've been turned off. I know
O'Neill's has been turned off. Yeah.
That as of the last year, there were supposed to be some turnoffs that were supposed to have happened, but never did, because the foreground ground got covered in snow before we could get to the valves.
Okay. All right. So never mind. As long as you're keeping an eye on it, just so that we know we got money coming in and money going out, to make sure that we're not going to overdraw any of our accounts. Okay.
Okay, Lynn, you can read the checks if you want.
The first one's for Jones and Beach in the amount of $3,531.25.
And the spending was on?
First for contract 002, water tank design. And construction inspection service for the labor.
Okay, so it's all under that same contract,
402?
Yes.
Okay. And the other invoice was for contract 006, construction admin services and O&M manual, $2,093.75.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Have you done the manual?
We haven't seen it yet.
And why are we paying it for it?
Well, they're putting it together as they go.
It's not the full.
Right.
Correct.
So the manual is being put together as the pump house is being built. So the photographs, and there's actually probably...
Was it $5,000 for that? $5,000?
Was it
four.
Only part of the
no, it was four.
It was $4,000.
And that's the first part of the
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not right. I know what you're saying. Don't pay until we get... Don't pay them in full until we get it.
Okay, next check is Boston's Excavation, $19,600.
Mm-hmm. That was the pressure test. Do we have Boston's receipt? I think E.J. Prescott did his pressure test.
Mm-hmm. That's the document that Donna was saying came in on pink paper.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can read it, but it's very vague. So we're trying to get a clearer copy of that from E.J. Prescott.
Okay. So we don't have it here?
No. This is the check that we discussed, that it's $200 less because of the cleaner copy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's the $200 less on the disbursement or $200 less on the payment?
To pay the Dawson, because they got paid...
Yeah, we overpaid them $200 on the prior check, so we're deducting $200 on this check.
Oh.
Okay. The bill's $19.8, but we're paying them
$19.6.
Right. So we ought to probably
sent the copy to Dawson, and it states it right on the check too.
Yeah.
Do we talk to somebody to talk to Kristen at Dawson to tell her that that's what we're doing?
Yeah, because my question is, if someone from the outside were to come in and look at our books and see the clear copy from Prescott of 1980.
It's not Prescott.
It's from Dawson.
It's from Dawson.
Oh, I know, but...
It has nothing to...
Prescott didn't bill us.
No, he billed Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
And so how...
What does it say on the check?
1906.
Okay, is there any explanation?
Yeah.
Okay, she wrote on there.
Yeah, less 200, service period, 10-8, less 200, but it doesn't say, you know, why.
Well, it does on our QuickBooks.
As long as it's recorded somewhere.
Yeah. But there was an overpayment,
On a previous, yeah.
On the previous disbursement.
Yes.
Okay. I know, D.N. Tank actually called, wasn't it like a $10?
Yeah.
They thought there was shorter than
$10. Because of all the eights and the nines.
Was the last check $10?
Oh, yeah, was that it?
And they have
$10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I shortchanged them $10 because of.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But they were looking for it, so we sent it.
Yeah, just two, and then the treasurer.
Okay, that's the water project.
And you can read it on.
I'd like to cover this audit thing today if we can.
Yeah.
On the manifest.
Then we get the operating budget manifest 8 checks. A total of $20,540.55.
$20,540.
And the first one is?
To Alvin J. Coleman. For $1,632.60.
Is that with the Bergdorf project? Probably materials, right?
Materials, I don't. They weren't stated.
Yeah.
No, because this is before the 5th of October.
Oh.
It's between the 3rd of September and the...
For the month of September.
Yeah, for the month of September.
Okay.
Next, Holman Rental.
Yep.
For $587.50.
Part of it was highway, part of it was water. Mm-hmm. So we put them together.
That wasn't Bergdorf, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah, because Bergdorf is Warren article.
Yes.
Your Warren article.
Yes.
I just want to make
These
sure.
These are mostly September bills.
Okay.
The next one is for Donahue and Tucker, legal, $145.
That's for the bond?
No. Drummond and Woodson was the bond.
Right.
Okay.
Chris Bolt.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Bolt.
And you know, one thing, just a little aside, one thing that Chris did mention in one of our conversations was that what some districts do and that they're open to doing is that if we wanted to propose an annual fee retainage, and if we went over it a little bit, we don't get charged. If we go under a little bit, we don't get reimbursed. But we would be, we'd always know what that budget line item was going to be.
Contingency, what a little bit means.
I don't know what the wiggle room is on that.
Like if a major matter comes up, like what causes you to go over? If it's just
But if you're within 10 or 15% of the retainage amount, they cover it, or is it 20%? We never got that far in the conversation. But it was something I think we should consider and maybe reach out to him, as long as he's not going to charge us for it, to give us what their policy is on
right.
that.
The next one is to Eastern Propane and Oil, $459.98.
Next
is
Bichette
Tire Company for $188.22.
Possibly Bichette Tire, or?
I don't know what they might give.
Yeah, it's a new tire.
Yeah, so.
Pretty cheap.
Next, for Phoenix Precast Products.
Yep.
For $3,641.
And that did go to the Bergdorf.
I was going to say, that's Bergdorf.
And the next one is for Simply Water for $13,321.
I read over this bill, and it's hard for me to decipher this couple that are involved with Chicora Pump Station.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Warren article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we sat down and really read through it
yeah.
and kind of
it
made sense. The dates made
yeah.
sense. We've got like four different. We've got some repairs. We've got a little bit
yeah.
of Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Chicora Pump House, and then there was a problem with that air compressor between,
yeah.
and that's just normal repairs. That wasn't
right.
regarding.
And then there was
testing.
The chloroform testing.
And testing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and testing. And
I broke it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like those figures?
No, because there's quite a few of them.
Are they right there on the bottom of the check?
They are.
Okay, so you can see them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then.
Now, the ones that were Reinhardt project related. Are we keeping a tally
mm-hmm.
of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's going right into the
against the water, against
yeah,
the Reinhardt tank budget.
Tank, yeah.
Okay.
So there's a line in the tank budget for Simply Water. Not over.
No, there really isn't. But it is tank related, project related, tank project related.
Mm-hmm. Miscellaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's how much? We still money left in that?
Yes. The retainers part of it, yes.
Okay.
I mean, on the contingency part, not retainers.
So this is coming out of contingency.
Yes.
The money off of it.
Yeah.
So the idea that all this contingency money was going to be available for projects wasn't really the case then. Contingency money, water.
Mm.
And then after that, whatever's left over.
Right.
We'll
but the majority of it, the biggest cost was the paving. That was the largest.
No, I understand.
It was 37. It was the owner, the manual and some additional oversight. That
yeah.
was 9,000.
Yeah.
So... Simply Water was, we had like, what, $3,200 up to this point.
Well, there's a couple of, so in this list that we're keeping,
mm-hmm.
there's a couple of responses by Simply Water to water main breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And it clearly states in the contract that if there's a water main break, it is the responsibility and liability of the contractor. So even though we get billed by Simply Water for that break, we need to now go back to the contractor and say, here are our bills.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing that?
So that'll be a negotiation at the very end.
At the very end, we negotiate and we put our bills on the table. They put their bills on the table.
Before we pay them the final bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their final bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if they present
us. Are we keeping a list of that?
We do.
We
identified them on the other half of my spreadsheet. We went through the old bills.
But to the question, let's say, from the citizen, that could we be over budget? Say that they won't agree to pay any of this stuff. Are we going to be over
budget? No. We had used.
I mean, not that they won't agree, but like, okay.
I think we've allocated maybe 37, maybe 70,000 of the 120,000.
Okay.
So we still have quite a bit of excess
okay.
in the contingency
oh, yeah.
fund.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So we may be able to do like the fixing the Muddy Beach pump house. We may be able to do some stuff in the chem room. So we won't be able to do a big project,
mm-hmm.
A $100,000 project, but we may be able to get a bunch of $10,000 and $20,000 projects done, if we choose to spend all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And the manifest?
The final check is for Verizon Wireless. Right. $65.25.
Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, this is Dinah. Could you tell me what the bottom number of the bank balance is on the manifest after we paid the $20,000 today?
$226,936.97.
Okay. I'm just wondering if we should get a tax anticipation note. We have 2.5 months to spend that money, and maybe we should just think about it and talk about it next week.
Yeah, we actually brought that up. We brought that up last meeting, I believe, and didn't know if it was something that I remember last year we signed the application and the $300 fee early in the year, and I had asked Jay, is that something we could do any time?
Yes, it's something we can do anytime.
Okay, and how long does it take from the time we commit to the $300 application fee and the time that we could get funds?
Right. I mean, we could get one next week, we'd be able to use it. Pardon me?
How long from the time that we apply for it that we can actually receive the funds?
Applicant, maybe 2 weeks at the most.
Okay. All right. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yep.
2 weeks. Okay. All right. All right. I mean, if we can get by without doing it.
I know. That's what I'm thinking about, but I also don't want to run us short. I know maybe you could ask Kelly about his wish list for the winter outfitting for the truck stuff. That's usually kind of expensive, too, so... maybe we can just pool our thoughts and see how much money we will be spending.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go to Commissioner's Report. So I'm going to jump to Paula first because I know she's been working on the auditor RFP.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to review the audit RFP. Let me get this out. By the way, I think we've all been making a mistake. I just realized I was looking for that. There is no GAAP. Oh, okay. It's GAAP. You talking about GAAP?
No.
Generally assessed accounting principles, that's GAAP.
That's GAAP, right.
I'm not sure.
And there's a government. There's the government.
Accounting Standards Bureau, GASB.
Do they have separate standards than GAAP? They're in government audit.
Yeah, GAAP can be any.
Financial audits, the standards for financial audits set forth in the U.S. Controller General Government Accounting Standards. That's in here.
Right, and I think there's... one for municipalities or...
I left it in here.
Mark?
The standards for financial audits set forth in the U.S. Controller's General of Government Accounting Standards.
Yeah.
That's all in here.
Okay.
I don't think we need anything else.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't find that one you were mentioning. So.
Huh.
I think we're covered. That's what I'm saying. I don't think
it's
an issue. I just wanted to... I was just trying to find that. I'm like, I can't see that.
So with the changes that we made,
but
how do we stand?
You guys needed to review this.
Yeah.
RFP. And then I needed you under accounting records. I had highlighted this, the modules that we use for QuickBooks.
Yep.
Are these the modules that we use? I didn't know what do we use different pieces of that?
No. Kind of scans for it. So we do payroll. Accounts receivable, accounts payable, assets, budgeting. We don't really do the budgeting portion of it, and we don't do the tax collection.
You cross that out on
that? Yeah. We don't do tax collection. The town of Madison does that. So was there a separate module that we had to download to accept the payments for the water bill?
Yeah, we have a merchant.
Okay. maybe put that in Merchant Center.
And I didn't know if the way I worded this correctly. I said the district also has several capital reserve funds that are held in trust by the town of Madison. Is that the correct way to describe that?
Yep.
I put the firm shall submit an electronic copy of the report no later than, I put April 30th. I know we've had issues with the date that's been either submitted or we should provide a date. That was the date another town had asked for. The book has got to close, obviously, and then we've got to.
And they make, and whoever we submit that to or solicit from will say, no, we can't do it by April, we can do it by May.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll put their own date in there.
Well,
if they can't
do it
by then.
That's what we're asking for, if we want to move that date. But
so do you have 4 or 5?
Yeah, I sent you guys a list.
Accounting firms to submit that to?
Yep. I sent to the office, yep. But I think we just reviewed it. Pull that up
if
you want me to review it, or if you guys are okay with that, I want to relook at it. I really want to. So, Robertson Green, that's what we currently use.
Yep.
Plazdic and Sanderson, they do a lot of municipalities in New Hampshire. Very. There were the documents that when I was looking for something that was from them, so I don't know if they were considered to be used, but anyway, they're well-known. Allison and Heath, they're in Nashville.
We used to use Plazek and Sanderson.
Okay. Right.
Allison Heath is another one. Co-host Advisors, which used to be a company called Crane and Bell, they're in Lancaster, and they might be smaller, so they might be kind of worthwhile. Some, I can't remember who I have that on.
Yeah.
And then Roberge and Company in Franklin, New Hampshire, another smaller auditing. So in terms of the cost, the first three are going to be the more expensive ones.
Yeah.
They're bigger. But those are the five that I would recommend that we actually. You can also post this, I believe, on the website.
I think NHMA will allow you to post, like,
the RFP.
Employee.
I think you can post
search.
This RFP. So. Are you guys good with this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that looks, does a lot of work.
Okay.
Appreciate you
doing
that.
I appreciate
that.
It. So, if you're good with these first, so we should make I'd like to make a motion that we issue this RFP. Let me just check the date again, because I think we can. I was going to ask for proposals by October 28th. That's about 2 weeks from now, so we should just move that back.
Yeah.
I mean, I can move it back to, like, November 15th. I don't think it's going to take anybody that long to answer this RFP. They're probably doing them all the time.
Yeah, we may get them all earlier than expected. And
or
be able
I could
to
do
make
November. I think I allowed, like, 3 weeks. So if I could get them out this week.
November 16th will be the Monday.
Yep.
Well, the 13th will be the Friday.
Now, in this RFP, will this document that's going out to them require a signature from any one of us or all three of us? Yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh, signature of officials. But we could either all sign it, or I could sign. You could give me authority to sign whatever you want to do.
Okay.
We should all sign it. I can do a revision of this, but I want to make you know,
right.
Put it. I could send it to the office.
Yep.
They could print it. I could put our signatures on
we
it.
We can sign out a session.
Sign out a session, and then I could send it out.
I'll make a motion that we have Paula revise the document and that the commissioners, once it's sent to the office with its revisions, sign the document out of session.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, perfect.
But do we want it? So can the office send this out then to these five firms?
Yeah.
Do you want to make a motion to issue the RFP or just...
Sign and send.
And that with the date on it. I'm going to change the date.
Yeah.
I'll sign it. I'll send you the revision.
Okay.
You guys should check that date, make sure it's okay with it.
Date again?
Yeah.
15th?
The 15th is a Sunday,
so it should be before. Well, it should just be before we have our meeting, so we can compile.
It's got to be way before that because they're going to start doing it in January.
Yeah.
So my goal would be to get them back.
What, the audit? Should they come?
No, but the auditor. We have to have. We have to know who our auditor is going to be.
Yeah.
Before.
So 4 weeks from today is the 12th. I'd like to get these back by November 9th,
okay.
Which is a Monday.
Okay.
That would, and then if you all have access to the office, to send them all to us. But I will then make sure I put a summary together by the 12th.
Yep.
If we don't make a decision that week, by the 19th, we can make a decision. In the RFP, it actually tells all these dates. This is our plan.
Good.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to know and make a decision before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to have a decision by the end of November. So notify the other. If we don't end up going with.
Okay. What else you got, Paula?
You had asked me, the other thing I a couple weeks ago said I would work on was that plan. There was a plan for an emergency plan for water.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I haven't had a chance to look at that yet, but I will
start
working on it.
And Kathy, I'll jump to you.
Well, other than things we've already discussed, I did have a couple conversations with Norm Garside. We were hoping to reconnect with him to do some work at the Summit Pump House. He called yesterday. He goes, I'm not going to be able to get to it this year.
Okay.
I said, well, in order for us to encumber the funds, because this is year two of that Warren article, it'd be nice to have a contract. He said, you know what, with the price of lumber right now, he goes, I am uncomfortable doing that.
Okay.
So we'll have to either let those funds lapse or have him send us something that to make sure he's covered, as long as we don't exceed the Warren article balance, and
right.
Then if it comes in under, it's under.
Yeah. You're talking about the reimbursement, right?
The Summit Pump House had written into the original plan to spend $1,000 to rip out the old fiberglass insulation and do something better in the Summit Pump House. Because of the construction of it, all the heat goes up, and we thought,
right.
Well, putting a mezzanine in, getting that fiberglass insulation out, which is always full of mice and stuff, and then spray foam the inside of that building. And we got a quote from him last year for around $5,000, and he can't find his copy, so we'll try to see if we can scrounge ours up. But he wouldn't be able to get to it this year anyway.
But as far as the funding, is that to come from the Warren article for electrical upgrades for the summit?
It was in the original proposal. There was a line item for that.
To do insulation. Okay.
To upgrade the pump house. I mean, we have all the brand new equipment in there, so we wanted to protect it.
All right.
Is it worth, or would it not be this price too late to find somebody else?
We tried to get two other people to go up there and look at it, and everybody's just too busy. And they said, yeah, that sounds about right, the $5,000. And that was to build the mezzanine.
Yeah.
Right.
To keep all the heat down below. And then spray foam that building and seal up all the holes.
Yeah.
It's of all the pump houses, it's in the worst condition as far as environment.
You can't even get a new estimate done this year?
The problem is, he said, if I price out lumber...
Oh, he might go up.
Lumber, he said, even Silver Lake Hardware was giving people a month to buy them at the quote. Now it's down to 2 weeks because the prices are changing so rapidly. So I don't know if we say, look, we've got $8,000 left.
Right.
Give us a proposal for $8,000. If it comes in less, it's less. So I didn't know the best way to handle that.
Okay.
So we can just let those funds lapse in the unassigned fund and then somehow try to fund it out of the operating budget for next year.
Do we have to have a proposal to encumber?
Yes, because it's after the second year.
Oh,
so
I hear
so we.
I hear that.
So as long as we have a contract, we can carry them forward to the third year.
If we can find the details of that original quote, maybe I can find somebody just a chance.
Okay, all right, we can do that. Right. I know it's in there someplace. I don't think Norm emailed it. I think he actually physically mailed it, but we don't have an electronic copy of it. I don't think he,
We're a little past
10:30.
I just want to jump to Mark and David.
Okay.
They're scheduled. So I'll give the mic to you guys.
Thank you. I didn't receive a copy of the contract that I asked for.
Yeah, so you're using the word contract. Are you looking for that? I was looking last night at a lot of different documents, and I found a 364-page signed bid specifications that show, like you had mentioned in your email, how far the pipe is to be laid below the surface of the ground.
Right, we discussed this last week. That
yes.
is the document.
That's the document? Oh, so that's the bid specification document. Is that online?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess it's still online. It was a general
bid specifications. It wasn't specifically a document.
Remember, I asked for the contract and I was sent the form that announced the bid award.
Yeah, the award contract.
Online.
Yeah.
So I'll take a look online.
Okay. If you want, you want me to send it to you?
The book's
right
here,
now.
But
yeah.
Look online.
I'm familiar with those. I've done those for the last 30 years. At the top of Reinach, there's a new telephone pole, and I see that the conduits have been installed,
but
no power's been run.
Mm-hmm.
You looked at that yourself?
Yeah.
Did you notice how many conduits leave the pole and how many come up at the new pump house?
I didn't actually count them, no. But
there's
I think
four.
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's only two that come up at the pump house.
Yeah.
Did the engineer tell you why, where the other two go? Do you know from these documents where they go? Or did you give approval to the new homeowner to have conduits run to his house?
No.
Figure that out.
So I don't know exactly where those two conduits on the outside of the building, but I believe they're for what we discussed earlier. There's a master switch. The plan was to eventually have on the outside of that building the connectivity to a generator should power fail for a long period of time. We might be bringing a generator up there to continue the flow of water. So we're waiting on supposedly this master switch, which I guess backlogged, and that's why it's sort of dead-ended right now. I think you're correct. There are conduits that go inside the building. I've seen the electrical system inside the building. And you're right, there's two on the outside. I believe it's two on the outside.
So right now you think that they go inside the building? You're
not sure. No, I was in the building last Friday. They're in there.
So there's two on the outside and two on the inside.
Exactly.
And that may be the four
coming
off the pole.
That's good because I was afraid that we had conduits running over the forced main to this house because there's no power. No telephone pole, nothing showing power at that house.
Right.
Glad to hear this all part of this project. Conduit, the culvert that was put on the top of Stalin. By the way, last week you asked about recovering things that happened in the past and you think that they're complaints. I'd like to clarify that this is the way you hold your elected officials accountable for what they do. So, bringing up the Stalin's culvert, heard the recording of the engineer telling you that the village paid to have that culvert size. He did a study of the drainage that feeds into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you recall, because I don't think these commissioners lived in the village at the time, but in the 90s, we had the engineering company do a study of the drainage.
Correct.
He focused on one section. I'll summarize it. It comes down to the Thusis culvert as it goes through the network.
Mm-hmm.
He figured out that it covered 130 acres of hill of land uphill. 130 acres of rain comes down and goes through two culverts to the bottom of Lugano after it passes through a whole bunch of other culverts, including south. The determination at that time was all the culverts were in the right place by the original design of right-of-ways, but they're all undersized for today's standards. There are federal standards on culverts, which changed in the mid-2000s. In the state of Maine, and I don't know if the state of New Hampshire said that all these culverts have to be upsized. So, we started upsizing culverts as we replaced them starting back in the 90s. And the two culverts, two big culverts at the bottom of Thusis are an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it all over the village as we worked on culverts. We used to buy culverts by the truckload from the manufacturer and have them shipped right to us. A tractor trailer truck loaded with culverts. Bought them cheap because we could buy them after the village awarded to spend the money. We would order them before the rest of the towns in New Hampshire had their annual meetings, and we got our order in and got great price, great delivery. So, kind of disconcerting to hear the discussion where this new engineer charged the village to do a study for the culverts that were going to be replaced with the top of Stalin's and Bristenstock, correct?
Yeah.
I heard that the supervisor of the DPW said that he wanted to use culverts that he already bought that were smaller. And he said that that would save the village money. I heard the commissioners say nothing. I heard the engineer just accept the fact that the supervisor of the DPW said no to his calculations of what those culverts should be and put in culverts that weren't what he was specifying. That's very disconcerting. I think that's a major mistake. That's why I review things and bring them up, even though you may consider it in the past, you don't want to look through the rearview mirror. You can't do that. For the sake of the village, you can't do that. Now, I see that the Bergdorf culvert, a lot of work has been done. The second culvert has been removed, which was originally just an overflow culvert until that design was done right. Last year, I asked for the correspondence with DES about what they are saying had to be done with that culvert system. There's a letter of, came with a D.
I know what you're talking about. Deficiency.
It wasn't clear that they were mandating what the design had to be there. And I have done work here as a commissioner, and people have reported things to the Department of Environmental Services about what a contractor was doing in here. We had to change it. I don't have any problem with that. I don't want to have DES tell us we have to spend more money. We have already done that with this project. Whatever you guys have approved on there, the only concern I have is I don't know if you saw the two times that whole system was destroyed by 4 or 5 inches of rain happening within a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You have seen it.
I have.
I don't think you two have seen that at all.
I saw the last one, yes. I was living here then, 2015.
You saw what happened on Prison. Had you seen what happened on Bergdorf? Not the failure of what was done the last time for the $26,000 that has now been wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern is, okay, so that culvert has been replaced. There's now only one culvert. It may be bigger than the one that used to be there,
yeah.
But where is the documentation that says that this culvert is now rated for what it should be at that location? You just do it? Because the DPW supervisor says I can do that?
He was certified to do that, replace all that up to 48 inches.
There's a document that says this has been calculated to be the right size, that road's not going to get blown out again.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because Chris Alba came by to look at that, and I was there while he was reviewing it. The only concerns he had was the outflow. The water coming out of the pipe might erode because of the direction it was pointed. So he had Kelly put some additional boulders. Divert and contain the water from eroding the hillside.
So that's a lot of speech to say there's no document that says this pipe has been calculated to be the right size.
Yeah, I don't know if Chris did or not with Kelly. I know Kelly's talked with him quite a bit about
it. Did he charge like $600 to do the calculations at Salins?
Yeah, I can't remember.
What did
he
charge for Bergdorf?
I don't know if he did or didn't. I think he did.
Okay, so
but
that's my concern.
Yeah, he did say.
Please don't do this anymore.
As far as
pay attention to the design of these culverts. Yeah. They all should be bigger than what's here now.
Sorry, 125% is what he said. So you calculate water flow and you size for 125% of that.
Now, we have already had an engineer calculate what the watershed is into that culvert system.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I didn't hear that any of that was referenced when this change occurred. But I'm trying to keep this to 10 minutes. So spread my message here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I might not get to my first bit today. So I'm back here. Idlewise Drive, pavement in general. One question I have is Bristenstock going to be repaved to the same size that it was before all this construction happened?
Yes, that's me.
And it's an overlay?
Yeah. And shim. What's called a heavy shim.
So there'll be sections that don't get any pavement on them?
I believe it's going to be, you're going to see all new pavement.
But they're not doing an overlay to a specification of the thickness?
No.
So that's what they're saying in a heavy shim. They're going to decide how much pavement actually
goes. Right.
On. but they have a set price on that of $37,000. That road was overlaid, but she had to go up to $14,000. Section, only the section that goes up to Christmas Park. I believe you're going over the hill down into where the intersection with Alcott.
Correct, yeah. Okay. And then down out.
Idlewise Drive is going to be cut to do a water hookup, or has that happened already?
It hasn't happened.
No, it's not happened. It's not been scheduled yet.
So there'll be repavement, fixing the pavement because it's going to be cut into.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any plan to patch up Idlewise Drive's holes for the winter because pavement's going to be addressed in that area? In other words, there are holes there now. Have you looked at Idlewise Drive?
Oh, yeah.
There was $5,000 quoted by the annual meeting to do repair work on shims on Idlewise Drive, and that's not happening this year. But there's going to be pavement work done for this hookup.
Right.
In the past, we would take advantage of that plan out,
mm-hmm.
and that hasn't been done yet. I would suggest that you think about doing it that way.
Yeah. The water operator coordinates with the paving company to get that road fixed. We don't do that.
You don't do it. Village used to do that.
Yeah.
Be in control of what happened.
Right. So the water operator is going to be on site. To his schedule of when he's available. He's going to hire the contractor to dig that trench, lay that line, inspect it, and then backfill it, and then seal it back up with asphalt.
I'm going to address that at another point. The village never used to have the water operator completely in charge of a water hookup. And we never paid $3,000 the water before. We'll have the data for you. We calculated that it used to be $400 for our cost to do a water hookup. Then
I remember, yeah.
Another boy came along when John Mendola needed a second line run so he didn't hurt his driveway, and they determined it was $800. We bought a bigger backhoe. I'll get into that another time, as the village is being soaked by the way this is being done, and you're making it standard procedure now. So that should be a warrant article. Voters need to address this. We talked last week about this water operator you were saying is going to leave the village and leave with a whole bunch of money. And I asked the other two where that went. No. This water operator at the annual meeting, when the paving of Idlewise Drive was being discussed, said that the master plan didn't need the connection of Burn Drive to Hotwell because he made adjustments to the pressure-reducing valve on Como. Remember that?
I remember something to that effect. Not sure it's exact to that, but yeah, there was discussion about that.
Because that also involved 2,500 feet of main, larger main being run from St. Moritz down to this intersection to bring more flow into the entire Burn and Hotwell. What I find amazing is that the new engineer was sitting at a table and there was a room full of people that supposedly had a lot of knowledge about the water system. And the water operator says, that's not a problem anymore. I've made adjustments to a pressure-reducing valve, and the problem is solved. I couldn't believe that the village accepts that. You know how a pressure-reducing valve works?
Yeah.
So you see what he's saying is that he changed the pressure on that valve and solved the problem that the engineer said needed bigger pipes to bring higher flow into the village, into that area?
Yeah, pressure does not guarantee volume.
Increasing the pressure does raise the volume, but it raises the pressure.
Right.
What's a pressure-reducing valve doing there?
Its
job is to reduce the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So is the village stupid? We're paying that guy to sit at a table and say things like that. We're paying the engineer to sit next to him who says nothing. And we're throwing away a master plan where the engineers have specified how to fix this pressure problem, and we're putting more houses in that area. That's a little disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop now with my list, and I'll come back next week. Thank you.
Okay. So with regards to your request for the contract, or what I call bid specifications, that's how it's titled?
It's on the website. I'll find it.
Okay. Well, I can send it to you if you want.
I find it on the website.
Well, the word contract confused. If you said big
spec. I was confused because of the way contract, but that's
acceptance awarded
was contract.
Awarded.
Right.
It wasn't specific to Dawson's. It was the bid package.
The contract that Dawson's operating under.
Yes.
The same text.
Yes. Right. But it was written, obviously, prior to the award of the contract.
The thing I'm looking for is that I pointed out to you that the documentation from this engineer, by the way, I'm hearing this engineer is leaving the company, is going to be the engineer for the village.
He's going off on his own. The fill-in for Jones and Beach was up at the site on Friday, he called in this morning. So Chris will be working on his own, and the district has not decided whether to move over to him or to stay with Jones and Beach.
So Chris Albert's working as a subcontractor to Jones and Beach until this project's completed.
I've listened to this engineer talk to you in these recordings and live. I wouldn't hire him. Anyway, let me take my test. That's all the time I'd like to take from you.
Thank you. So I guess I'm up.
David?
Oh, I'm sorry. David's good.
Thank you, Mark.
A couple of questions about legal invoices, which I'm interested in. You have $6,500 approximately for Drummond and the Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are associated with the Reinhardt tank.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why are they charged to the operating budget?
We did that, well, for two reasons. One, those were paid for last year in the early part of this year and were not reimbursable for the grant. So we did not want to apply them to the Reinhardt Tank project. And that was voted on months ago to do that.
So whoever compiled the numbers for the original Reinhardt Tank didn't include a legal cost?
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
Because the legal cost was for it wasn't the tank specifically, it was for acquiring municipal financing, which is something we did outside of the project. It wasn't in conjunction with the project, it was a whole separate activity. Well, what we're trying to do is use money spent that can be reimbursed by the state to get our 24% back.
The reasoning for that was to try to maximize getting that $295,000 from the grant. And obviously by adding that $6,500 mm-hmm. or whatever the total cost may be.
But that's for the grant. I'm talking about the bond.
Well, the bond.
As I recall, and I was not on the board then, but because I remember this came up, this was discussed pretty extensively.
Yeah.
I think it's a budget hearing or the annual meeting. But the idea was to, if you put that towards the, take it out of the grant, or out of the bond, then you wouldn't get the full 295 reimbursement because you can't get partial legal costs reimbursed. So the goal was to try and get as much, get the 295.
Mm-hmm.
So spent some of the money that was used to calculate the 295, it would reduce the amount of the grant you're eligible for. Why they chose at the time to not take it out of that,
right.
The big cost, overall cost. But put it in project cost. But in the end, it would reduce the amount of grant.
When the original numbers were compiled, who was that?
Now, which original numbers? The 869? The 860? Well, the 869-4 came from the prior board making an amendment at the annual meeting.
There was no allocation for a
hometown? No. There was not.
Why is it not charged to the contingent?
I mean, it could be. If we just thought it's a water project, and we wanted to get as much water project work done as possible. And if we can spend $10,000 to improve the chemical room, to finish doing the Muddy Beach pump house, and we can get 24% of that money back from the grant, it made more sense to do that than to spend it on legal fees and get nothing back.
Well,
That's why we separated it out.
So you're upping the raising budget to the addition?
We put it in the water budget? I think we put it in the water budget.
Yeah, because I remember asking when we went through the budget.
And that's why we missed. That's why.
Last week you said that the line item for legal fees was over by the amount that you were paying for this blind attorney. Now you're saying
under the water budget.
Not in legal fees.
It's under legal fees, but in the water budget.
Oh yeah, it's not part of our general operating budget. The line item called legal.
It's under the water budget.
Separate.
Okay. I mean, it's for financing for a water-related project, so we're not using, it's not financing to buy a new truck, it's financing to secure a low-interest municipal bond.
But I think in the original that was approved, $869,400, there was no allocation for securing a bond or going to a bond. Well, actually, there wasn't, because they were going to use private financing, so
yep.
There would have been zero cost,
right.
legal fees. But once we went to decided to go for a bond, which lowered the interest rate almost half.
Do you know who compiled the original number?
For the cost of the bond? Or
the 860, you're talking about the 869-4 was the warrant article that was approved at the annual meeting. Is that the number you're referring to? Okay.
So that would be Ralph, Mike, and
Ron.
Ron.
Did they compile all the numbers for the cost of the final?
That's where the number came from.
But again, I think they were opting to, and I heard this said, they were opting to just simply go to a bank to get a loan.
So there lies the problem is that this board decided to change the way that warrant article was going to work on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, you went for a bond that got a lower interest rate but got a higher first payment. So you actually violated RSA 32 by doing more, you put more into the warrant article than the warrant article said it should be spent. Now we're also seeing that you're also sliding money into the water operating budget because you made a change to go for the bond. And this grant that wasn't part of this warrant article at all.
Correct.
So that's another circumstance we have here in the village. Which
I don't think we're sliding it in. I don't think there was ever any
it was all very transparent.
It was, yeah, I mean, we talked about it at length, so it wasn't as if we were trying to hide anything from anybody.
Nobody said you were hiding it.
Okay, well, Mark, you said sliding it in was definitely meant to say that we were trying to, you know, brush it under the rug or that we were somehow being deceptive.
The fact is that you went over on the first payment and you are taking money out of the operating budget to cover something.
No, we're not taking it out of the operating budget.
Water operating
water.
Budget.
The water budget.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, and that I think the commissioners have a right to, and we can clarify this to decide on the financing options on a project.
You're not allowed to exceed the voters' approval.
The total.
And the previous board did it too. That's why I say the votes have to change the way we part of the culture now. Do what this village does.
So, to your point,
if you think you're going to reduce the budgets, you can't without fixing this.
The first year's payment, $59,400, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I may be incorrect. But $59,400, and I think we're somewhere around $76,000. Mm-hmm. In order to have achieved that, and this was discussed, this was argued.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the main folks arguing this point in that there were people on the board that wanted to have this paid off in just a few years. We're at 15 years. And I wanted to go to 20, 25, 30, whatever it would take, because we, like you said, in the warrant article, the first year's payment, $59,400 or thereabouts, that's the number we need to reach. So there's a lot of arguing
mm-hmm.
about this.
Mm-hmm.
there was discussion with DES, and I think that, well, I know we had discussion with our legal as to can we go and get a bond that is a shorter term, which will increase our annual payments. I believe the answer was yes, and that's what now what we're trying to go back and confirm. And we have questions into
with
the DRS. No, DRA.
DRA.
I'm sorry, yeah, you said DES.
Yeah. Well, DES actually had concerns about their opinion is if you're going to finance a long-term project, a project that's going to last you a long time, you want to do it over as long as a period as possible to minimize your annual payment. That way you can do other work to the water system improvements as well. So we took all that into consideration, but we agreed upon a 15-year, and I think originally we were at 10 years.
Yeah, all three of us were looking at the big picture. It made sense to do the 15-year. Well, the other thing, and I don't know if you know, and I know it doesn't matter because what got voted on at that meeting got voted on, but one of the three commissioners at that time, none of the three of us or Adam, said in passing, oh, by the way, I made a mistake. It wasn't 59.4. They did the math wrong. It really should have been 66. They made a mathematical error when they were calculating what the interest rate and the payment should have been.
The number on the Warren article for the first year's payment was actually an error.
That was calculated on the floor of the meeting, right?
Yes.
They had it all written down.
Yeah, it was already what's in writing stays in writing.
Right.
Unless you want to change it from the floor, but that wasn't done.
No, but they didn't come up with that number on the fly. That was they knew that was the amount that they wanted to change it to. They went from the $666,000 to $869,000.
Oh, right.
And the payment was going to go to 59.4 when it should have been 66.
Still would have been short.
And we've still been short of, yeah.
So if you talk about what was explained, there were a State of the Village presentations prior to this, where I asked you whether this was a hearing or not, and you said this is a commissioner's presentation after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually, the word sales was actually used by the commissioners at the time. There was a room full of people at the lodge who was explaining this idea of interest and how we should pay things off quickly. It was resoundingly rejected by the comments that the people at the meeting made who were there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was seems to be ignored because next time it was said in the minutes of the meeting that commissioners didn't do a good sales job, that they need to do it again. Then come the annual meeting, the moderator was going to let one of the commissioners talk at length as to why the village should be paying things off quickly. Started into it, and the legislative body overruled the moderator because they didn't want to hear this again. They're rejecting this idea. And just to do it anyway. Just a counterpoint to having it all exposed. All transparent. I think you're in for another annual meeting like you had last year, maybe worse. It has to be fixed. Maybe it needs the board.
Well, let me ask the question. If we were at fault and the first year's payment exceeded what was stated in the warrant article in 2018 that was approved by the voters, I wonder if we can reconcile and go back with another warrant article to renegotiate the bond for a longer term to get that number to where it was supposed to be. I don't know.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It's just...
The first year payment is being made next year. It hasn't been made yet. The 72-70 number. I don't know.
So there's two steps, and the first step happens before the annual meeting. And the larger step of the payment happens after the annual meeting. So I'd expect to be a warrant article on this warrant to raise the extra money and correct that vote.
For the year
But during that vote, this kind of conversation has to happen with the whole legislative body, which is why I'm trying to get information from the village in the volume that I'm trying to get, which I would say I've documented enough that transparency issues abound. And I'm doing all this to prepare to have the village understand that we need to change the way we do things in this area. Big time.
That's the point of the meeting, for the annual meeting.
Right. So, the budget hearing. I'd like to help you else that's ever knocked down the budgets to an operating range that was acceptable and a lot got done. But when it's as inflated as they were prior to 2012 and have crept back up and exceeded that, we were the only one trying to bring these budgets back to normal. I had a history in doing that. But I'm going to ask for a lot of information of things that happened in the past. Not complaining.
I don't know the discussions that I'm trying to do something different than the other commissioners are trying to do.
I thought last week you said that these budgets have to be reduced.
I said in general we have got to really, I would like to reduce our budgets. Is it possible? We haven't dug into it yet for next
year. I'll show you the history of how possible it is.
I mean, I know, and you did some of that last year, and, you know, yeah, anything you want to share, we'd love to see.
Well, we just advised today about two increases into the New Hampshire retirement system and to health care. 3 points on the retirement system and then 6.4% on the health care increase. So,
yeah, fixed costs and debt load have to be brought to the forefront in these discussions. The debt load I don't think municipalities have increased the debt load at the percentage rate that this village has.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you have to fully understand. This project, pushing this project to $893,000, I think is a huge mistake. It's been done a lot differently, but people almost.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
David has 10 minutes.
Okay, sorry.
I just have one minor trivial question.
Okay.
On the invoices from Donahue, Tucker, and Gianella, some reduction.
Very little.
Who made those? It's a little bit. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Actually, if you don't mind, just change. If Dorothy has any...
Well, next to all this heavy stuff. Okay. There are really rumors that the Department of Revenue is going to
did happen. There was an individual that put in a driveway without notifying the office, and he has since filled out the application and paid his driveway permit. There was a house.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
So it met specification. If he had come in before he did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
With what he did, but it's just that
basically he had a construction driveway. So when Kelly went down and looked at it, talked to the individual, and whatever requirements Kelly had for that property, that driveway was going to meet it where he was going to end up putting it.
Okay.
And there was an individual that ended up with a water hookup before paying the fee because the contractor was up at the tank and got involved. And he has since paid his fee, his $8,000, and... he's also paid his driveway application.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the only two things that we really get involved is the water hookup and the driveway.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the house across from you...
down the street from you.
Well, down the street from you. That house is on hold, waiting approval from the town of Madison.
Okay, so for the public record,
mm-hmm.
is there any way to stop a project until they have the permits in hand?
Yeah, and so when we find out, or even a resident like yourself comes to us and says, I noticed something happening at the lot on my street, And then what we do is we check to see, one, first of all, if there's a driveway permit. Because any construction that begins, other than the clearing of trees, has to have a building permit from the town of Madison. And in order to get that in Idlewise, you first have to have a driveway permit from the village district office. The three of us will sign that, as well as Kelly. So that has, on a couple of cases, been not known. It happens. We get notified. We then reach out to the property owner. We correct that situation, bring them into the office, or get them on the phone. And so, Donna,
I was one of them. I have to be honest with you, Dorothy. I didn't know you needed a permit to pave the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that either because I was in the thing.
But they
had it
to address,
get it on the record, and that's it.
Yep. So it did happen, and both those property owners are now in compliance.
Okay. There's a lot of construction going on this year, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's getting a lot of calls. Keeping up with it.
No sign of slowdown either.
And it's good that people notify the office if they have questions, because sometimes we don't see it. I mean, Kelly catches a lot because he's out and about, Jay's out and a lot, but
The increased real estate values and VRBOs and so are really changing the village a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's everywhere in Conway. I mean, there was a huge issue in the Lighting District?
Lighting District, yeah.
Over near Cranmore. For that very same reason,
we're a small, compact space, actually, but the amount of activity that's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's always funny. Look at the map up there, and you can see, all the lots spread out, and then you can definitely, zoom right in on Idlewise, how small and condensed of an area we really are.
On the positive side, it'll increase the tax base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be more people paying into our fixed tax rate or taxes, which will help to hopefully lower the tax rate.
Yeah, the assessments are scaring people.
Yes.
Oh, well,
I don't know for sure. I have to. They were adjusted, at least mine was. So people should check again on the website.
Were you notified? Were you notified?
No, I just happened. I was looking for something else about my property.
Yes.
And I saw that. And I clicked on it. I'm like, oh, because it's on your card, the card, mm-hmm. I would call it, And it was lower than what they sent me.
Yep.
Okay.
I saw the same.
Okay.
So maybe that's another thing for the camera, to encourage residents to go to
the website
and recheck your assessment, because some have been adjusted downward.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone up. I can't say that. But
that can be found on the Madison website under assessing.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Am I up?
Good.
Okay, Rhinack Road paving schedule. We talked about that. We did have a caller from number 5 Bergdorf, a resident who was complaining about the construction at the Bergdorf culvert. I was down there on Friday afternoon after the project was complete. The crew had already gone home, and the homeowners were down looking at the project. And this gentleman who left the message spoke to me and came right out and said, "I apologize." I said, "For what?" "Well, the message I left." He had a bad day. He came down to the construction site, which looked like a bomb went off, because that's what things look like when you dig 30 feet down. And he was very concerned about it. The one thing he did mention, though, is he just would have liked to have been notified of what was happening, even though it was just a 3 or 4 day project, just to be notified.
It was pretty obvious what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. And I got photos. The other thing, too, is that last week, I think we accidentally, we were under a 91A, excuse me, 91A, a non-public session, and one of the items that came up was an email that none of us actually received, because it all went to our junk mail.
Mm-hmm.
But Paula brought it up. And I went to my junk mail, because she found it in hers, and found a 91A request from former Commissioner Adam Weiser, with numerous requests, for example, just all over the map, requests for documentation, which will take, I'm just trying to guess,
Well, I thought there were 36 requests.
Yeah.
I calculated at a minimum of 15 minutes per request, which is probably not even.
No, I'm not even close.
That would be 9 hours of work.
Yeah.
Mm. Some of them, there's nothing to send because there's nothing there.
There's one, consider 91A request for all correspondence directly between Jay Buckley and members of the Water Committee from the date of inception to present day via his video email address, text messages, and or from his personal email address. That alone is going to be more than 15 minutes. I can guarantee you that. But I don't understand. Now, my question then is, have we sent this off to our attorney?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Because this may, I view this as frivolous and abusive. And
we want legal advice on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But have you started to fill it? You got back to him and said
got back to him last Thursday and said that we found it in the junk mail. Commissioner Doyle found it in the, and I will be taking care of it, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah. And his last statement is, as a reminder, the district has 5 work days to complete these requests. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
5 days to respond to the request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you did.
Which
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I did that last Thursday when I came back from the meeting.
Yeah.
And we went through, and Donna and I went through it, and then we kind of said, okay, these are things that are going to be easy and simple, so get those checked off first. We will do it.
2 or 3, I know that there's nothing there.
Right.
Wait a minute. I want to hear an opinion from the attorney.
Okay. I mean, but things that, he wanted all the minutes from 2015, they're on the website. You just have to search for them. They're not automatically listed.
Yeah, but we're not giving them that.
Just all we would say, they're on the website.
Yeah, they're on the website.
Right,
yeah.
They're on the website.
Yeah.
And if they're on the website, we don't have to put them on a thumb drive
right.
or
yeah.
print them.
And the audios.
Yeah, and you link you gave them the link for the audios
yeah.
for the
yeah.
minutes. So the things
we
that are easy and simple.
Yeah.
We're working on it, and I will when I hear back from the attorney.
Well, okay. Well, I think the attorney is just going to say, stop, this is abuse, and we'll take it from there. But I'm just waiting
for the meantime, you have to keep
no,
on.
I have,
oh, no, no,
yes.
yeah.
We're not going to ignore it.
No, no.
But,
and I like this, unfortunately, Monday we had the holiday. Tuesday
right.
I still had 91As prior to
yes.
his request.
And that's why I asked you to start
yes.
keeping track of 91As, whether you keep it in your notebook somewhere,
yeah.
From anyone,
yeah.
how long they take, because this has become an issue now in other towns in the state who have had to hire people just to do this,
yeah.
and there's a cost to that. There's a cost to the district for you guys doing it, because
yeah.
you're part-time,
yeah.
so your hours are going to go up if we have more
yeah,
to do, and that's going to cost the district
no.
more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people are entitled to do it. That's the law,
yeah.
but I just want people...
Mm-hmm.
I spent
better part of this whole week working on those 91As.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah, but not from Adam though. The
no,
prior the
no,
prior
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prior
okay.
ones that
okay.
I had
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
So I
just want to keep track of the different ones and how much.
Yeah, and unfortunately, so the older ones, I know what's happened up. You know, from when I started, I have very little knowledge of where things are prior.
I didn't understand why you fulfilled the request about the Excel.
Because I got that from...
I saw that note. Based on the note, I wouldn't have sent it.
From NHMA?
Yeah.
They're looking for the formulas. And that,
they didn't
that's
say
what
that, did they?
Yes.
They used the word formula?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't see that.
No, Mark, no.
No, 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 no. They're looking for our spreadsheet for the formulas to...
They said they wanted the information. They didn't say they wanted the formula.
Well, he wanted an Excel form because Nancy used to send it to...
But that's because Nancy used to send it that way.
Right.
He didn't ask for it because he wanted the formula. He asked for it because he wanted... He wants to be able to go put his own formulas in.
Right.
Based on that note back from you, I would not have filled it.
Did we go to reply to the NHMA?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I sent it out to you
yesterday.
Yeah, it was vague, I thought.
It was, but I know that they come back at me because...
It's fine if you send it. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to send it.
Yeah.
Excel. I mean, I don't agree we should be sending it.
I don't myself, because any place that I've worked prior, anything that we sent out goes out as a PDF.
Right.
Because of being able to change information.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's
But we do have a documentation of what we sent, because you have the email. And the version you sent out, so if anyone ever tried to change it and use it in a public way to discredit the work,
mm-hmm.
we can say, this is the email we sent, this is the attachment we sent, this is what it looked like when we sent it.
And I don't think that they would intend to do that, but what if they started doing percentages and then they typed something in and it didn't get saved and all of a sudden it looks wrong on the totals and... So that was my fear, not that they were going to maliciously do something.
No,
but
I know.
Hmm?
You can lock it.
Yeah.
You can lock all the cells. That would be another way to do that. And then that way they can change. They can add columns. Because when I did that with the budget, I added columns and I was doing my own calculations on how much we'd spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just like to look at it a different way. But
just one last thing.
Keep going.
All right. Yeah, one last thing that I have is I apologize. I forgot. That I was to write a letter to the attorney for number 47 Idlewise
mm-hmm.
Drive. I thought we pretty much almost wrote it at the last meeting, but anyhow, I quickly last night wrote it and sent it to everybody, but I just read it here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you
send it to us?
Yeah, I copied you guys.
I looked this morning.
I'm on email right now. Anyway.
Okay.
So, Don, if you got it, send it.
Dear Mr. Carey, the Board of Commissioners are in receipt of your email dated October 6, 2020. Just for clarification, Chairman Adam Weiser resigned several months ago, and Jay Buckley is now the chairperson with Paula Doyle, having been appointed to fill out the remainder of Ms. Eliza's term, which expires in March of 2021. The Board of Commissioners are aware of the work that was done 47 and 49 Idlewise Drive. This work was necessary since the culvert beneath the driveway entrance to 47 Idlewise Drive needed constant maintenance, as the driveway at 47 is severely deteriorated, and the erosion of that driveway continuously fills the culvert with sediment. The driveway at number 49 Idlewise Drive has a culvert which drained into a makeshift catch basin, as does the culvert for number 47 Idlewise Drive. The catch basin is also compromised by the erosion and stormwater runoff from the driveway at number 47 Idlewise Drive. When the culvert and catch basin fail due to the sediment buildup, stormwater runoff from 47 and 49 Idlewise Drive would overflow from the drainage devices and wash out a section of Idlewise Drive at number 47 Idlewise Drive. The property owners at number 47 Idlewise Drive have applied for a driveway permit to remove the existing pavement and repave the driveway, which, as you show in your attached photos, is in very poor condition. The board has approved the Henderson's application with the condition.
We have not.
No, we didn't approve it.
Oh.
We're waiting back for the homeowner to approve the conditions that Kelly recommended.
Okay, so I'll say then the board will approve the Henderson's application with the condition that a grate be installed across the bottom of the driveway to catch and divert the water that sheets off the driveway into a newly installed catch basin shared by both properties at 47 and 49 Idlewise Drive. As with all driveway culvert replacements, the property owner is responsible for the culvert cost and the installation is done by the DPW. The district has yet to be notified as to whether the application's condition for approval of the grate will be installed by the Henderson's paving contractor on the Henderson property.
Okay.
The work of installing the culverts and catch basin.
Oh, work.
Yeah, I know. I tried to make this two sentences.
I thought we were just going to say the work we did was on our own property.
Yeah.
We're waiting for them to get back to us on their permit. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I thought that was the letter. It was like three or four sentences.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're going through this whole explanation.
Well,
I don't know. If you want to, it's fine.
It's done, but in
the district has yet to be notified as to whether the application's condition for approval of the grate will be installed by the Henderson Paving Company on the Henderson's property. The work of installing the culverts and catch basin need to be done prior to paving the driveway.
And the other thing was, you know, the district owns the property.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure the work that was done was on district property.
Oh, no, I have that. I have that here.
Where?
Oh, right here. So the work of installing the culvert, right there.
Okay.
The work of installing the culvert and catch basin needed to be done prior to the paving driveway entrance. All this work was performed on the district-owned property, including the cut and removal of broken pavement above the pre-existing culvert.
Okay.
The road drainage infrastructure is now in place, and the Henderson's at 47 Idlewise Drive can proceed with the paving. Well, I shouldn't say this.
Yeah.
Proceed with the paving of the driveway.
Once they have the permit approved.
Yeah, once they have the permit approved.
Yeah. Permit, yeah.
Yeah, add that one. Okay.
Okay,
Jack.
I'd love you, Jack.
But otherwise,
I'm writing a book.
Apparently, no.
So what I would do, I did look at it, and you're right. I mean, the driveway's, you know, 15 feet wide, 13 feet is just a crumbled mess of their old driveway.
Yeah.
But that little lip there, if Kelly could go and just put a couple of shovelfuls of gravel in there.
Well, he did. I mean, when he first, I saw it.
When he first did, right, but then it rained and it kind of.
It's going to keep raining.
It's going to keep doing that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be a week.
But they've got rental people coming in and they're going to get it paved and.
Let's just send a letter out.
Yeah, no, I get that, the email.
We don't need to do anymore. I wouldn't go near it.
But with respect to his question, can we discuss or meet over this? And both, both options are still available as to meet on Thursdays at 9 a.m. We are also willing to meet conference call at any other time or day that is more convenient.
I wouldn't even put that. I would just say, please finish the driveway. I mean, we got to get on. The amount of time this has been discussing is 49.
I don't know. It's been a year.
It's been over a year.
Send
a letter. I would email it to him today.
Yeah.
Fax it to him.
If you can make the adjustments. We don't have to print it. He emailed us. I would email him back. Just attach Jay's comment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'll make a motion that we email this out today without even a signature on, like with a verbal,
from the office.
With a vote to sign it. Like I'm not going to go back to the office and sign it.
Okay.
It needs to be. It's an email.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Are we sending an email on the letter to an email?
No.
I would make a motion that we take Jay's what he's written, put it into an email, and send it today.
And then you can say, you know, Jay Buckley, chairman of commissioner chairman.
Yeah, do we put emails on letterhead? How's that work?
No, it'll just be a,
it'll
in the
be
book.
An email. So I'm making a motion that we send an email today with this.
Yeah, just
second
that when you have written.
Somebody second that.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Or
Lynn can put in a Word document with the letterhead on it and just attach it.
Yeah, just
scan it.
Attach it. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right.
We do need to get back to him, though, that's for sure.
That's all I got. We usually go to public comments, Dorothy. Do you have anything else?
Well, no, I spoke, obviously, before public comments. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So, Jay, the only thing I want to mention was that what's going on with Ian? I was a little concerned that we were caught off guard by a private resident telling us about Ian's possible leaving the district without us having any knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm. So this all came about probably around the annual meeting time. It was soon after. Remember that meeting in November where Ian was in, we were at the library.
Yeah, I do. I was there, yep.
And Mark was there.
Yep, I remember that.
And it was that blowout.
Yep.
And, Ian had pulled me aside and said, I don't need any of this.
He said that to all of us, actually.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah.
I remember that.
And I could just get up and leave, and you guys are on your own. And I don't blame him for that, having a resident treat him the way he did.
But that was a year ago.
Right.
Okay.
Was
that
the annual meeting?
No, it was a
meeting. No, it happened in November, but I spoke with Ian after that.
So what did a private citizen do to him?
We went to the meeting at the library where Ian was actually at his monthly meeting discussing with us, you know, the status of what he's been doing and such. And there were comments made by one of the residents at that meeting, and that got Ian
hot.
So they were just kind of very critical.
Yeah, there were a lot of words exchanged, and I know Ian left.
I didn't know. Mark actually I didn't know what it meant to talk about.
But
I don't think
it was just
there.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So.
That was a year ago.
Yeah.
10 months ago. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's basically when it happened. It was probably actually at the beginning of the year, because I didn't see him again until.
Has Ian said something to you in the last 3 months saying that?
No.
So what was that?
He's referring to something. Yeah.
Okay.
And even the other comment about we're going to expose the. Remember early on in the project, Chris was actually talking with us about we're probably going to have a little bit left of contingency.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we haven't even started the project, and we're already dipping into contingency. I was getting afraid. How do we even know that? And actually, we've
done wonderful. Okay, that's, so my concern was that Ian said something to you in the last couple of months
yeah.
that when this project is done, that's what Mark said, was that Ian said when the project's done, he was leaving. Is that what?
Yes, that's what he said last week.
All right, so is that something that we need to be aware of?
No.
Mark, not Ian. Okay.
No.
So I was just concerned that you had that conversation with a resident in the last couple of weeks, maybe, that was going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
Ian's got a contract. Ian has a contract with us for, 2 years?
Yeah. But this goes back to,
how long is he under contract for? When does that come up?
Yeah, that was...
That just started last year.
So he's got another year.
So we started his new contract 2020.
You should have said to the resident that was a conversation that happened a year ago.
Right.
Things have changed.
Or November. And,
well, it's and October 15th.
And my conversation was in January, probably.
All right, but so anyway, so...
So
I was just concerned that you didn't say that, you know, that was an emotional... That was a situation from 10 months ago. Things have gotten better. We don't foresee that happening in the future.
I don't even want to discuss about, because this has been ongoing for
years. I understand that. But, okay. But it sounded like to all of us that something was going on
that
we were unaware of.
No.
And I was very concerned about that.
No.
I think things have gotten better for Ian as far as him. He's got a lot of work to do in this district.
Yeah.
And I kind of took offense that somebody's going to leave the district with all kinds of money in his pocket.
Yeah.
That he said.
Well,
that.
That's been stated more than once.
Okay.
Is that.
I mean, private citizens are going to make comments about vendors and the DPW mm-hmm. and us all the time that are critical and that are not. And that's.
Okay.
Well, that's their prerogative. That is their prerogative.
Right.
The question is whether we as a board defend, you know, think that he's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, you know, in situations where we have the opportunity to defend him,
if we think
he's doing a good job. I mean,
yeah.
That's all.
And again, there was, and I didn't want to get into it.
He's fulfilling
facts about the culvert.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know we're being recorded, but there were attacks about the installation of the culvert.
Okay.
All right. And we've already gone over all
thanks,
of this.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy, thank you.
I see it as a tremendously excellent job.
Well, and the other thing, when he talked about going to that smaller culvert,
mm-hmm.
do you remember Chris said, well, when she sized the culvert, your analysis was right on the edge.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if we, you know, went 30% smaller than the recommendation.
Right.
She was 125% above, and by going with the little smaller one that we already had,
mm-hmm.
we were still within that acceptable range.
Right. So then I didn't even want to get into it.
Okay.
Way it transpired was that two culverts were installed, without Kelly's knowledge,
mm-hmm.
using our existing inventory. But
no.
I don't want to get into that because
okay.
then he's going to take that down.
So
I mean, I just think as a board, we have to, one, hold our vendors accountable, which I think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still concerned about this thing that got done, as I said last week, and we don't know if we're getting a bill. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's not right. And if you want me to follow up with somebody, I will. I'll reach out today to
mm-hmm.
the engineer and say, this work got done, and we didn't approve it.
Right.
Should we expect a bill for it?
Yeah.
Why don't we just do that? Why don't we just ask them? I don't understand why we're sitting here saying we don't know if we're going to get a bill or not.
Well, I'm surprised that we haven't.
But let's ask somebody
yeah.
then.
So, Donna, do you want to send Jake, what's her name?
The new girl for Jones and Beach?
Kristen. No, we're going to go through Chris.
I would send a note to Brad Jones and say, we've been having some discussions, you know, just to give you some background or whatever, and say to him, whatever the situation is, there were two culverts installed. Should we be expecting a bill for this? Don't ask the vendor. They'll go, yeah, let's bill them for it.
Yeah, right.
My question is, say to him, should we be expecting a bill for this? And if so, how much will it be for and when will we expect it? Say, we did not approve this work, and you can even say that if you want. We didn't approve this work.
And one of the culverts was damaged by the contractor.
Yeah, and we had this discussion with Chris.
Send a note that says, this work was done. We just want to clarify, this work was done. We did not pre-approve it. It was based on damage. We are not expecting a bill for this because it was based on damage from the vendor. Can you please confirm that this is the case? That's what I would do.
Yeah, please confirm
that we will not be billed for this.
We need to know, guys. We've got to close up our books.
Yeah, that's going to be a $7,000 or $8,000.
2 weeks ago, Chris, and Chris said, well, he must know the price because it was done a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know?
That's unacceptable from Chris.
Right.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah,
like, you
should have said something up.
I'm sorry. Like, this is the problem for me. I don't understand why we are, like.
Do you have a date I can go back, like, just to see when it was done, like a ballpark, but minute-wise?
July.
Okay. It was after that storm, right?
Yeah.
So one of the culverts was damaged by the contractor, not the other one.
The first one was damaged by the.
They did them both the same day or the same weekend. They came in and did it.
Yeah, that was like
I just want to clarify some information.
Yeah.
That, we are not expecting a bill for this, as this was based on a mistake or on some damage that was done by the contractor. Can you just confirm that this is true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then let him confirm it.
Okay. So in the two culverts, were they both on Briston stock?
No, one was on Aspen and the other was on Briston stock.
So one on Aspen and one on Briston stock, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I wanted to bring up, just so you know how to approach this, is that new water hookup at number 9 Reiner.
That was something else I wanted to ask you about.
So we do have some details on it. Again, Chris Albert was not made aware of it when it happened. Neither was Ian. So we have a water operator that is required to inspect all water lines when they go in, and this one was not done. So we should probably talk to Ian.
Can I ask you a question? So was their service link from their curb stop valve all the way back to the pump house, or did they extend the main up to his property?
So coming out of the pump house is a 4-inch water main, and they put a 2-inch stub off of that to connect the 2-inch line that runs down what appears to be on paper the Class 6 road.
Okay.
And then it turns off there's now an orange cone, highway cone, that indicates where the curb stop valve is located, which is on his property now, or thereabouts. So there's probably close to 100 feet of water main. We'll call it the water main just for legal term. The district owns that part to the curb stop valve.
Okay. That they put in without our knowledge or
approval. And from the curb stop valve to his house is probably about 80 feet.
Okay, that's nuts, and that's his responsibility to pay for that.
Right. So my question is on both the water main extension and the service line, are they at the proper depth? And Ian knows neither because he was never asked to inspect because we didn't get the application until a couple weeks ago. So
tell him to dig it up and show him.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
and,
what
happened. Well, my other question
you
is,
mentioned that too, and Ian was going to follow up.
If that 2-inch main went across to Nudson's property, if the next lot is sold and wants water, how far back is that main? Is it like at the very lower?
Yeah. It just goes to the closest corner of Nudson's property.
We had a separate meeting to talk about just all these water issues.
Yeah.
That was one of the things, was that property owner should extend the main to the
end
far edge, so the next person will go from his close edge to his far edge.
Yeah.
And that was something that we were going to make a decision on, whether we should require.
That's a great point, because I also found out during this walkthrough that down at the intersection of the other end of the Class 6 road, where it comes out across the street from the house at number 5, there was another 2-inch stub put on the line. I said, what was that for? Oh, so you could complete the loop around the road. And I go, we never decided these things.
Okay.
And I'm just amazed at some of the stuff that...
So it goes from the pump house out to
who did this stuff, Dawson?
Yeah.
Then Dawson's got to fix it. I mean, it's their cost, guys. This is not...
Well, I don't think they have to fix that.
They're not billing us for it. The perception that we're going to create a whole new neighborhood serviced by water was... Who came up with that decision?
Yeah, but are we being paying for it?
No, and I don't believe so. Now, that 2-inch pipe that goes from the pump house, the 4-inch, to the curb stop at number 9.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's being paid for. I hope the private property owner would be required to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't put in right, it's going
to
have to be
and,
dug up.
And it should be extended down to the other end of his property.
That's all another, yeah. Yeah.
So let's let him, who's going to let him know that?
So I think first we need to talk with Ian, who's our inspector of all new water lines, and say, what do you know and what do you want to do to ensure, because I'll be very honest with you and up front, he's our water system operator. If he says, no need to dig it up, I approve this, as from what I've been told, if that line ever freezes, he owns it, not the district. Mm-hmm. That's my impression. I want him to see what was done.
And he's not going to say okay unless he sees it.
Yeah. So it's going to have to be dug up, and somebody's going to be mad that they're going to have to pay for that. But
who wants to talk to Ian?
I'll talk to Ian.
Okay.
And then I'll have him put everything he needs to in writing and sends it to the office, and then we all see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'd rather get that done sooner than later because I don't want to.
The ground will be frozen in a little while.
Exactly.
We've got to get this stuff ready.
Because Dawson's have to be accountable for that.
Yeah.
I don't blame Ian for any of that.
No, he's not. Chris didn't know either.
He should sit up there with them and him dig it up and look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, and that shouldn't take that long, right?
So no.
It's all filled, so it's not boulders and rocks
right.
and,
right.
you know,
yeah.
major site work.
Yeah,
you've got to get that done now.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right. So I'll do that.
Really folks accountable, you guys.
I've never seen the behavior like this before.
My question is why hasn't someone told them to stop? I mean, that's where I think Mark's point is, who's the project manager? Jason, you've been up there with them. You got to tell them when you're up there with them. No.
Oh, they went in before I even knew.
No, but I'm telling you now, you got to say to them.
Oh, yeah.
Dig it up, Ian sign off on it, and then we're done.
Yep.
It's not that. I feel like we just keep talking about this stuff over and over, but nothing gets followed up on. And I'll follow up if you want me to. I just don't know.
We need to have a consensus of this board before
they
make a decision on that.
Well, they violated an ordinance,
so
that doesn't need any consensus.
Right.
So,
all right.
Okay.
Does anybody else have anything, Elva?
We were going to talk about our public hearing. I did make some notes, do you want
to
do that next week?
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it next week.
Okay.
I mean,
so I did kind of make some notes here.
I
printed out the ordinances.
And some of them I want to double check to see.
Oh, I have a question for you guys. Are we putting a notice up on that trailer? Has it been 30 days?
It's gone.
Which one?
The big one. The big one was gone.
The big one's gone, but the other one,
the
still
one,
the
leprechaun.
That
the big
was
fifth wheel
parked
had
this
horse
way
is now
against the thing. So
the
he's just using it, I think, as a holding spot.
Which one is that?
The
drivable
one. The
okay.
There was one that was backed into the woods, the backed up, and we've only seen the front of it.
Yeah. Now you can see the
side. The one
with
the for sale sign.
No.
The for sale sign's gone.
That's gone.
It's funny, because after the meeting last week, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it
came back.
Okay.
And then it's gone again?
Yeah.
It's gone. It was
the
gone.
The one away and came back?
Yeah.
I think they may have taken it out to
service.
Try it or, you know.
Yeah. Okay. The other one was backed in yesterday when I picked the mail up for work.
Okay.
And then when I came back from work, yesterday, it was parked next to the mailboxes.
So has it been more than 30 days?
Total. Yeah.
Total.
Do we know who owns it?
Yeah.
Do they know to get rid of it, or we're going to sell it?
Who is it, Jay?
They're down on Burn Drive.
So do we
no, I'm sorry, Hutwell.
Do we need to notify them?
They're right on Hutwell. Not too far from the parking lot.
But you're pretty sure who the property owner is?
I've seen
who the owner is of that?
In the vehicle parked in their driveway.
Okay.
So do we need to notify them to get rid of it? Or we're
just say that, you know, the ordinance allows for 30 days of parking. Our records show that you've been there for however many days.
They're longer than the fifth wheel that showed up on the 23rd of...
Okay. What about all the boats down there? Are we keeping track of how long?
That's Larry Leonard's boat.
Yeah.
Do we know when it got there? We gotta be consistent treat everybody.
Well, why I would like to... That's part of the ordinance or whatever. They have to notify. There's one gentleman that is the nicest gentleman that calls me, says I'm parking it, I'm letting you know. I mean, I think that's because God forbid, not for anything, if there was a fire or something.
Or Kelly needed to have a vehicle moved to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have no knowledge of who who's parking where, what, and what.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it says right here, 30 days in Hotwell, unless written authorization is received.
Yeah, but nobody lets us know when they're putting it there.
Okay, but when we notice it, we should write it down.
Yes.
And Donna's been doing that now.
So you have a list. Are there any that are past 30 days right now?
This past one that moved.
Yeah.
Should have been up because the...
So we need to send them a
written notice. Fifth Wheeler showed up on the 23rd.
And he was already there.
September.
Okay.
That we were...
watching.
So if somebody's over, send them a note.
Yeah, just
to,
you know...
But that's the problem, Paul. We don't know who's a lot of this stuff is.
But he's saying he does know.
This one
but
we do
but
that
this
one,
particular
yeah.
one, but in general...
Okay,
like
so
the cars that are parked there.
So for the boats, are there any boats that have been there more than 30 days that we don't
yeah,
know?
Larry's boat's been there more than 30 days.
Okay, so can we notify Larry that he needs to move his boat?
Yep, I would say so. And I think, you know, and I think Ralph made a good point about the parking lot, and he said, you know, oh, you can park there for 30 days, so they park there 28 days, leave for a week, and then come back, and their 30 days starts over.
It doesn't say that they can do that.
Right, but what I was thinking was, we should say that they get 30 days per season. So if we went from April 1st to September 3rd, that's your 30 days.
Yeah.
And then your winter season, because I know some people have snowmobile trailers and things, and that season can go from October 1st to March 31st. So 30 days within that window, and that's it. You can't be there 20 days, leave 2 days, and come back for another 10, or you know, you can't exceed the overall 30 days.
I just think we need to enforce it.
Yeah,
right.
So if we know...
And we need to have some signs made. That was the other thing.
We need to make some signs and put signs on it.
Yeah, we need signs in the parking lot to say there's a 30-day parking maximum.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I just want to make sure we're following up on the stuff that's there.
Yeah, and I mean, Larry obviously knows what the ordinance is.
Larry knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if he comes back and he says, listen, I need another week, I've got winter storage lined up, then we can go, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, it's...
I just, like I said...
We don't know.
We don't, like, a lot
no, but,
of... Like,
but
I
if we don't
know,
then we put a sign on it, and we said we're going to tow this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the rule.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear here. I mean, we can put a thing in the ordinance, like you said, that you have to notify us if you're planning to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
But what, if you're only going to leave it there 5 days, are they going to supposed to notify you? I mean...
We have to tighten that up a little bit.
We have to tighten up.
And we have to make sure it's a registered vehicle, because that way we can track who the owner is.
Yeah. So we could just make... And then we should put it on a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year there'll be a sign up in the spring and just say this is the rule. But to me, for the ones that are there more than 30 days, if we don't know who owns them, then put a thing on them that says you don't notify the office within 2 weeks, we're towing them.
This will be towed, right?
Which is what we did with the one that we ended up having to tow.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we're treating everybody the same.
Because
then what happens if you do one and not another?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to come back and go, well, you gave this guy.
Yeah. How many canoes and kayaks have we?
I think there's only one kayak sitting.
Yeah. Is it the red one?
No, that's a blue kayak. The red one was a homeowner's.
Yep.
It was taken inadvertently because of the kayak portal.
Okay.
So long story short, they picked it up the other day.
Okay, great. Okay.
But we took it out that it shouldn't have been taken out.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask for a decision today. I'm going to ask yourself and Lynn to be ready next week, if you could, to comment on the canoe kayak portal, whether it's worthwhile doing it again next year, or would it just simply be first come, first serve, like it has been.
Can't do it. Can't do first come, first serve, Jay. You put your kayak, you know, Donna puts her kayak there on the rack. Her kids take it out for a little kayak, ride and comes back, and somebody's got their kayak in her space.
And also, we get then a lot of people.
I know what you got to carry your kayak up the road.
And all the other neighborhood people using it.
The only thing
able.
Is,
that's the thing I think is
and I'm going to be honest with you, I need training on the portal itself.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question. So we filled out, we maxed out on this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So what if we just leave it? In other words, these people have it for next year until people move off. Move out of the district. Now,
that's
I have.
You're saying like mailboxes?
Yeah, well,
no, I think once they're registered, they don't have to re-register. So that part's already done.
Right.
Yeah,
so they'll just have to go in and pick a spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they may say, oh, you know.
I didn't like that beach. I'm going to be another
beach.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I like
somebody,
training so I know what I'm doing.
And how
I'm
they
telling people what's expected. I was never given any of that.
Yeah.
So.
I also think with so many people now, I mean, I think we really have to have it because people from other neighborhoods, other areas where non-Edelweiss people were using it in the past. And we just can't. I mean, that's not fair.
Right, it's not. And if you, you know, and if you have a space, it's your space, nobody else should put that in there this season. So
this is our town security. Have we ordered the nest?
We're doing that today.
And I'll put out a notice today on the seasonal shutoff. If somebody, because we only had two or three last year, but to know
it was six altogether last year.
So that if Lapham's and some of those other folks want seasonal shutoff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Kathy, if I can do any of that stuff, let me know.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Unless there's something else, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you. All right.